Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome. It is Friday, the 25th day of June, 2010. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. Then I shall return live this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time as well. Well, former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura and host of the hit television transmission Conspiracy Theory will be joining us coming up in the broadcast later today. So Governor Jesse Ventura coming up later in the transmission. Then, of course, we have our once-a-week visit from Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, and he wasn't on with us last week, so he's got a lot of information to cover, and we're going to cover the news throughout the broadcast as well and take your phone calls. Let me just go through one of the stacks of news, give you the headlines here. Congress votes to impose embargo on Iran. That's an Infowars.com boil-down article. Here is Reuters. Congress okays sanctions on Iran's energy and banks. Here is a story out of the Israeli newspapers, Ynet News. Iran, aid boat will not set sail for Gaza, aid to be sent another way. And the LA Times has the headline, Iran controversial attempt to break Israeli blockade off Gaza called off. And the LA Times echoes my sentiments. Okay, people, relax. World War III is not going to break out this weekend over a high seas confrontation between Iranian aid ships headed to Gaza Strip and Israeli gunboats aiming to stop them. Look, I want the Gazan people to get their aid, but I do not want to have an excuse for World War III to start between Iran and Israel. And I don't know what the Iranian government was thinking. They were saying, yeah, we're going to send basically military ships to escort. I mean, what was Turkey thinking? Because what was Israel thinking, saying they were going to attack them? I mean, I'm glad somebody backed down. I mean, why would Iran want to give Israel an excuse to attack it? Why would Israel want to escalate things and board the ship the way they did? It's just a bunch of people full of bravado, full of macho arrogance. This is how wars get started, my friends, and I want to avert war. It's just like in your daily life. It'd be easy at the grocery store. You know, somebody pushes your cart out of the way and kind of bows up to you. It'd be easy to punch them right in the face and break their nose and go to jail. The winner just smiles and says, you're very powerful. Yes, I'm scared of you. Of course, that's a smart mouth thing to say. It's just best to ignore them and act like you didn't notice the slight. Now, if somebody corners you, you don't have a choice. You're going to defend yourself. Take them down as fast as you can. Hurt them bad. Punch them right in the throat. Uppercut them in the nose. And it's the same thing militarily. It's what George Washington stated, that walk softly and carry a big stick. As wise as serpents, as peaceful as doves. No foreign entanglements. That's actually what he said. All right, I'm already digressing, but that is good news that Iran has backed down. And now they'll have a better hand to play against these illegal, out-of-control sanctions, which are acts of war as well. The good news and the bad news. House and Senate leaders finalized details of sweeping financial overhaul that's passed the House and Senate now in conference. This is really bad. And this is economic sanctions on us, the American people, that are very similar to this next little jewel. Remember a few months ago they were talking about handing over the islands of Greece, some of their most valuable tourist property? Well, they are. Greece starts putting islands and land up for sale, and the deceptive headline is to save the economy. It's like if you were starving, start eating your own toes or eating your hands. That's coming up. And the G20 is meeting up in Canada. $1 billion price tag, and they're arresting anybody who tries to even cover it. We'll be back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Here are just some of the insane type headlines. Well, the insane, the bizarre, the positive, the ugly, the interesting. How about prosthesis for cats? More and more cats and dogs getting little artificial legs and feet. We've got that story up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Or how about this one out of Artuz Shiva, Israeli National News. IAF, Israeli Air Force, landed at Saudi base. U.S. troops near Iran border in a gear up for possible war. U.S. aircraft carrier off the coast. Israeli fleet massing nuke submarines saying they may attack. I mean, this is insane. And we've got the UN and the United States passing draconian sanctions against Iran, which are an act of war under common law, international law, and common sense. If enemy ships came off our shore and started, you know, trying to force embargoes on goods coming in here and started seizing our banking assets worldwide, that'd be an act of war. This is a serious escalation while we're all busy watching sea turtles dying in the crude oil in the Gulf, which is important. But I will assure you the prospect of a Polaris-induced nuclear war is a lot worse. That'll kill a lot more sea turtles, I will assure you. And look at this bizarre ABC News headline. North Korea seeks $75 trillion in compensation. Hey, you're not Goldman Sachs, so you don't get that much taxpayer money. Okay? You were unable to take over the United States. The bankers did it by stealth. Your little 19th century dictator jumpsuit just didn't do it, buddy. Cash-strapped North Korea has demanded the United States pay almost $75 trillion in compensation for six decades of hostility. That's a good one. That's a really good one. Congressman Rohrabacher says almost all House Republicans think Iraq war illegal, immoral. That's what is going to be airing tomorrow on Fox Business Channel with the new top rated. It's only had one transmission. Top rated show that airs on Saturdays and Sundays with Judge Andrew Napolitano showing the future of television. If the establishment wishes to survive and have any credibility, they will put patriots on, real patriots, not twisted doppelgangers like Herr Becky Boy. And I mean, yeah, Beck's a light years better than a Chris Matthews. I'm just saying, and then a Judge Andrew Napolitano is light years better than Beck. I mean, I just can't get much better. But the point is, he broke here yesterday that Dana Rohrabacher, one of the leaders of the Republican House, on record, said that the majority of Republicans in the House now believe the war was illegal and immoral. And the video and audio and is up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. That is a very important story. And of course, remember, not this year, but last year, Ron Paul addressed CPAC, and he got a standing ovation that went on for about 2 minutes. And as they panned across the crowd during the different standing ovations, the majority of people were standing up. Almost all of them were clapping when Ron Paul said it's not conservative, it's not Republican, it's not libertarian to be pro-war, preemptive war, that bankrupt our country and kill our troops and demonize our name worldwide. And so the vast majority of the real dyed-in-the-wool Republicans, the leadership of the Republican Party, and the general public that are, you know, the hard chargers out there for the Republican Party understand this war was a contrivance and a fraud, and that our borders aren't secured, our country is bankrupt, we are the imperial muscle for offshore banks, and they get it. And that's what Dana Rohrabacher said. The first time his show airs on the Fox Business Network, that's been around for, what, a couple years, got some highly rated shows. The first time it airs in a dead slot on Saturday morning. I mean, that is a dead time. One of the worst times. That's got similar ratings to 11 or midnight, during the week. It's just a terrible slot. And number one, Jesse Ventura's show. Number one out of the gates. Never happened on that network, True TV, formerly Court TV. Never happened in Court TV history. Because people know we're in deep trouble. They know there's a world government. They know there's a new world order. They know foreign banks are robbing us. They know fluoride's being put in the water. They know the wars are illegal. They know, okay? They know the government's out of control and criminal and predatory. And that's the message. You put this radio show on, you will get higher ratings for your radio station. And more stations are going, wow, I guess Alex Jones really was right all these years, even though it sounded crazy. Look, truth's stranger than fiction. I know it sounds crazy. You're not the only one out there, but I'm not crazy. Everything we've talked about has unfortunately come true. Now, are you ready for the rest of the stuff we've talked about to come true? I mean, is that what you want? Okay, continuing with interesting news here. June, deadliest month for troops in Afghan war. The deaths of another four NATO troops in an accident in Afghanistan made June the deadliest single month for U.S.-led forces in nearly 9 years of conflict, according to a French news agency tally. Continuing, Obama insists on unity after McChrystal exit. That means the military officers who are actually experts in war, they're not allowed to give their own opinions. They've got to parrot what the limp-wristed drug addict Barry Sitaro has to say. Continuing, Taliban endorses General Petraeus, a new U.S.-Afghan war chief, not smarter than McChrystal. This is New York Daily News. We have no idea if this is even true. I mean, every few days I see articles where they say Bin Laden said he's going to nuke us, he's going to strike any minute, and at the bottom of the AP article will say, this was posted on a message board and we cannot authenticate and have no idea who posted it. And they just constantly put this stuff out. I mean, who knows if this is real? Who knows? I mean, that's the problem. It seems the evildoers, oh, you've got to love that journalistic term. It seems the evildoers. You mean the ones that we grow the opium for? You mean the ones that kidnap 14-year-old kids and sell them to U.S. forces who know full well they're completely innocent? You mean the Taliban and Al-Qaeda 6,000, 8,000 leadership flown out to safety to Pakistan by U.S. forces? It was all a staged war. You mean those? You mean this giant intelligence operation that was 9/11? I mean, this is all complete theater. Our troops get compartmentalized and pointed at some province. In every case, it's just a group of Taliban that won't pay their cut of the schmack money. That's it. You understand? Period. It's a drug war there. What do you think's tearing Mexico apart? CIA and globalist-backed, bank-backed groups are in there taking over the supplies. We told you 5 years a huge war was about to kick off. There's real cartels, real private drug dealers in Mexico controlling the flow because there's regions all over. You know, most of the cocaine 30 years ago was grown in Colombia. Now it's grown in other nations. And the CIA does not have a monopoly, and the big banks don't have a monopoly, and they don't like it. I'd like to put all these dirtbags out of business and decriminalize it right now, but that won't happen. It seems the evildoers were just biding their time to see how the Rolling Stone flap would play out. Now that President Obama, Barry Sitaro, has sacked his top war boss in Afghanistan, Army General Stanley McChrystal, who ran the cover-up murder of Pat Tillman, and replaced him with Iraq Surge Hero. The MI6 and other forces quit staging terror attacks to stir up the Shiites and Sunnis between each other. That's why he's a hero. Replaced him with Iraq Surge Hero General Petraeus. The Taliban has finally weighed in. The verdict? Of course, they don't give you any source as you read deeper. It should be right at the front. The new boss is the same old boss, and Petraeus is a wimp. They claim Thursday. Petraeus is not smarter than McChrystal. Taliban spokesman Qari Muhammad Ahmad Yusuf said in a statement. And again, no authentication, no nothing. Also, his losing consciousness last week, he had a seizure. An investigative hearing before the members of the U.S. Congress brought his physical competence and his courage into question. That would be a reference to the decorated general fainting briefly during a Senate Armed Services Committee hearing. Petraeus recovered quickly, blaming dehydration and skipping breakfast, but was told to come back the next day to continue his testimony. His military standing as his four-star rank greatly waned around the world after the fainting episode. Yeah, if it had been known Julius Caesar was an epileptic, it would have been over. Mock the Taliban's use of, according to the site Intelligence Group Translation, and they say they got it from a message board. I mean, give me a break. McChrystal firing by Obama, by the way, has divided victory, the Taliban mouthpiece added. The U.S. position differs significantly. I've said this before. General Petraeus has already established himself as one of the great battle captains. Every time they say his name, they call him great, decorated, command leader. And so instead of like calling him a strategic general, part of the strategic propaganda, they call him battle captain, which means he was out leading battles. No, that would be McChrystal, the opium lord. I mean, say what you want, but he was in the Delta Force. Not Mr. Sea Captain's son. Nothing wrong with that. It's a great profession. Just he's never been on the ground. He's not a special forces guy. That's not saying he's bad. It's just he's probably in there because he probably picks up those, you know, special basketball games that our sources have talked about would be part of the club. I mean, who knows? It's just that seems to be part of being the club is that you're, well, anyways, as I've said before, General Petraeus has already established himself as one of the great battle captains with a PhD from the New World Order Special Globalist Think Tank Woodrow Wilson Center. Is in American military history. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said at a Pentagon today. Ooh. As for divided victory, Gates and McChrystal's downfall doesn't prove disarray within the U.S. military. Yeah, it is. Obama should have just ignored it. But these people have no sense of history. They're idiots. They're all a bunch of arrogant peacocks. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
And they're going out like a dinosaur. Why they used to grow food in Kansas. Now they want to grow it on the moon.
Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura.
I can see the day coming when
busy producing a new season of Conspiracy Theory. Will be joining us later in the broadcast today. So will Bob Chapman. Okay, I've got news. So big on the Gulf of Mexico that I am not even going to get to it right now. I'm going to cover it coming up in the next segment. Because we cover so much incredibly important news, I want to highlight or put an exclamation point at the end of the info we're going to cover coming up in the next segment. This is big news, and it does confirm a lot of what I had hoped was fear-mongering out on the internet in the last month. And you know what that fear-mongering is. What I had hoped was fear-mongering. I never really called it fear-mongering. I just said, I hope people are overreacting. That when the tens of millions of gallons of oil begins being blown in by tropical storms and hurricanes at the end of the summer. We now have a tropical storm forming right now. That it will off-gas so many toxic chemicals and fumes that it will cause an evacuation of the Gulf. We know the military's been moved into the area. We know the EPA has come out in the last 2 weeks, adding some credence to this. Well, I'm going to cover it all coming up in the next segment. It's just really horrible news. And it's, I think it's a mixture of real concern and also panic. But when you get a CFR globalist running around telling the Washington Post that there may be an evacuation of 20, 30, 40 million people, and it's now in the Washington Post, look out, ladies and gentlemen, look out. This is the grand diversion. While they start World War III and while they take over the banking industry, that is your local bank. That's all happening. Everything's happening right now. It is incredible what is going on. And here's the article, but I'm going to start covering it in the next segment. Oil industry insider and CFR member predicts Gulf evacuation. I'll try to focus on every facet of it coming back in the next segment. But in other news, Congress votes to impose embargo on Iran. Congress on Thursday approved tough new unilateral sanctions aimed at squeezing Iran's energy and banking sectors, which could also hurt companies in other countries doing business with Tehran, Reuters reports. The House of Representatives passed the bill 408-8 and sent it to President Barack Hussein Barry Sotero Obama for signing into law. The Senate had approved it 99-0 earlier in the day. Congress has pushed for crippling sanctions against Iran for months at the behest of the Obama, in other words, the behest of the elite. Congress held off until the UN Security Council and the European Union agreed on the new multilateral sanctions. Congress, however, believes that more punitive measures are still required in order to punish the Islamic State for its nuclear energy program. Iran is permitted under the NPT to develop nuclear energy, but Congress, Obama, Israel, and the Europeans insist the program is a cover for a nuclear weapons program. The UN sanctions, though, a good first step, are quite tepid, and they are tepid because there are other members of the Security Council who want to keep going and doing the business with Iran. The United States has to pass unilateral sanctions, declared Democrat Senator Barbara Mikulski. The U.S. has intensified the Gulf and infused the Gulf states with armaments and currently has an armada of warships patrolling Iran's shores. Iran's rulers will sense that the conventional balance of power is tilting dramatically against them, explains the Council on Foreign Relations. Yes, the global empire is amassing armies against Iran, one of the countries they haven't mopped up. They've mopped us up here nicely in the United States, haven't they? And they're teaching us about the balance of power at the CFR with the little oil spill. They're going to teach us to not stand up against their carbon tax, to not stand up against their total takeover of society. They're going to show us that their environmental cult of dehumanization and eugenics is the only way. In early June, Bilderberg salute Jim Tucker reported from Spain that the majority of Bilderberg members are now in favor of military strikes on Iran. An attack on Iran would provide a welcome distraction to the globalists' failings in other areas and would also allow the war profiteer, reported Paul Joseph Watson. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We'll get more into what's happening with Iran and then into what's going on down in the Gulf. This is vitally important. Stay with us. Please spread the word about the transmission. So the United Nations passes illegal, draconian sanctions on Iran. Iran has allowed inspectors into all their facilities. They tried to go that route. They can only refine about half the fuel they need with conventional gasoline, so they're trying to go to nuclear power. I have no doubt that they do have some covert nuclear programs. But the issue is Pakistan has nukes, North Korea, Israel over 400. And why aren't there sanctions on Israel for having nukes outside of the international conventions? This is about world government. This is about the establishment deciding who can have weapons and who can't. And also the war industries always want someone new to be able to attack. Our government, with the British government, has been instrumental at least twice overthrowing the government of Iran in the last 65 years. And it is completely illegal. And it's wrong. Now, does that mean the Iranian government's great or good or that I support the things they do? No. The issue is, though, this is a illegal operation going on against Iran. And you watch, if this war starts, you're going to pay for it out of your pocketbook. It's going to bankrupt the country further. It's going to at least triple the price of oil for 6 months or longer and lead to a wider regional war, massively increase the number of troops we get killed. And there will be terror attacks in this country. That'll be Iranian responses that are called terror attacks. And you will be the target. You will lose your freedom, and this giant police state the establishment has geared up will be used against you. You can look at the strategic operations of the global crime cabal, and you know what they're doing. They've set up the police state ahead of their banking collapse of the U.S. and Europe, and they've got a war lined up as the political distraction. And we are all the targets of this global crime syndicate. Our nation's being destroyed. Iran's being destroyed. In the end, Israel will be destroyed. There will be no nation states allowed to stand. This will be a global corporate Borg hive. Now, the really great news is, that's the bad news about the sanctions on Iran. The really good news is that they have not escalated at the UN or Congress yet to start boarding Iranian ships, bringing anything into the country. They're saying no oil, no fuel, no blockade. And any U.S. or multinational corporations that do business in the U.S. That now do any business with anything in Iran, basically, will have their accounts seized here in the United States. So just brazen criminal activity. And, of course, who runs our banks and our government? The big offshore banks that have destroyed the nation. Good news that Iran is not going to give Israel and the United States an excuse to attack them. They are backing off sending armed ships to break the Israeli-Gaza blockade. That would certainly escalate things quickly. Aid boat will not set sail for Gaza. Aid to be sent another way. So that's good news that that'll get through. Iran announced that the aid ship to Gaza, which was to leave on Sunday, will not be leaving. The Secretary General of an Iranian organization supporting Palestinians, Hussein Shaikh al-Islam, said during a press conference that the main reason for the cancellation was the Zionist regime's violence and inhuman response to humanitarian aid. He said the aid would be transferred to Gaza in other ways and not in Iran's name, the Israeli news service Ynet News reported. This is what the LA Times had to say about it. Iran, controversial attempt to break Israeli blockade of Gaza called off. Okay, people, relax. World War III is not going to break out this weekend over high seas confrontation between Iran aid ships headed to the Gaza Strip and Israeli gunboats aimed at stopping them. International observers, including certain overworked Middle East correspondents, breathed a sigh of relief Friday after Iran called off its plan to try to break through Israeli's blockade of the Palestinian enclave. Israeli commandos killed 9 Turkish activists aboard a Gaza-bound aid ship late last month in an incident that practically reconfigured the diplomatic topography of the Middle East. Yeah, it blew up in Israel's face big time. And Iran would have been really putting themselves in deep water if they would have engaged in some type of military skirmish with Israel. This is really bad news that this was even being considered by Iran, by Tehran. But the good news is they're backing off for now. House Senate leaders finalize details of sweeping financial overhaul. This is from the Washington Post. And then when you read deeper in the article, paragraph 6, you find out what's in the legislation. And we've gone over the legislation months ago with Judge Napolitano, with Ron Paul, and many others. And it is a nightmare. You see national news going, Ron Paul and his son Rand Paul don't want to bring the banks to justice. Yeah. Yeah, they don't want to overhaul the banks. They don't want to bring them to justice like Obama's doing. Remember back last year, the Financial Stimulus Act, and Obama's up on the news shaking his fingers saying, we're going to get these big central banks, these big mega banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and others, Bank of America. We're going to get them. Now, we're going to stand up against them. And then it came out in the legislation that it gave them total anonymity, more power, trillions more, and made all the money they'd stolen retroactively secret, and in the future retroactively secret, and allowed the secret transfer of money in the future to the mega banks that were original recipients of the, quote, TARP and all the other money. And then people saw Senator Dodd's bill, and they said, well, this actually gives them more money and makes it secret and allows them in perpetuity to keep stealing and gives them all this power. And Obama said, well, that's Senator Dodd. How dare you? And Dodd released emails to the White House telling him to do it. I mean, that's what they do, ladies and gentlemen. They tell you one thing and they do another. They say zig, it's zag. They say up, it's down. They say black, it's white. They say 2 + 2 = 8. Doesn't equal 4. And they have experts get up on the news and say you're a racist. If you don't believe 2 + 2 = 100, you are a racist. And you say, well, what does that have to do with race? Oh, covering up for yourself, making excuses racist. Well, I don't want the banks robbing me. I don't want government-run health care written by the insurance companies. Shut up, racist. And then we're so conditioned to be politically correct, we start defending ourselves instead of saying, look at you engaging in race pimping and mind control. A new consumer now listen to the Washington Post here. A new Consumer Protection Bureau. Oh. That's like saying Al Capone is going to be someone fighting alcohol and supporting supporting arresting organized crime. A new Consumer Protection Bureau housed in the Federal Reserve, the private holding company of the private banks, the kingpins. A new Consumer Protection Bureau housed in the Federal Reserve, the authors of our misery, the authors of the global banking takeover, the financial dictatorship, the authors of it. A new Consumer Protection Bureau housed in the Federal Reserve would have independent funding. Oh, an independent leader, that means from government, and near total anonymity and autonomy, and near total autonomy to write and enforce rules. So the Federal Reserve is given even more power, but not just to issue all the money they want to themselves in derivatives and to tell Congress to go fly a kite when they ask where the money went, but now they're in control of all financial institutions or any institution that affects the economy, from a hot dog stand to your salon, to your tiny factory. They run it all when this goes through. This is total banking dictatorship. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. Don't worry, though, folks. Tyranny is coming out in the open. We will repeal all of this. We will repeal the government takeover of health care. We will repeal this. The Federal Reserve, in their own internal memorandum that have been leaked, are scared. They know that they've been identified as the real and illegitimate government. They have been identified as the puppet masters, the puppeteers, pulling the strings of the marionette. It's over. No World War III will save you. No martial law will save you. You've now been identified. Can you say bye-bye? Can you say time is on my side? Oh, yes, it is. As the Rolling Stones say. In fact, go find that on YouTube, Rolling Stones. I want to play a clip of that. Time is on my side. I want to play that in a moment. A new Consumer Protection Bureau housed in the Federal Reserve would have independent funding, an independent leader, and near total autonomy. Near total. No, it is total. To write and enforce rules. The government would have broad new powers. See, that's the little lie right there when they tell you that this is the government, the Federal Reserve. The government would have broad new powers to seize and wind down large failing financial firms. That's a lie. It's mainly targeted at local regional banks, as the Texas Banking Association said 2 months ago. To wind down large failing financial firms and to oversee the $600 trillion derivatives market. Oh, what an amazing part truth. It's now $600 trillion we have. I thought it was just $800 billion you needed. Oh, it's $600 trillion? Try 1.5 quadrillion, or basically triple that. Economists we talked to a decade ago said it was $600 trill. But the government would have new broad powers to seize and wind down large failing financial firms and to oversee the $600 trillion derivatives market. In addition, a council of regulators headed by the Treasury Secretary, Goldman Sachs, would monitor the financial landscape for potential seismic rift and take over any institutions they wish. I mean, this is just complete dictatorship by these people. Just what they wanted in Greece and got, and just what they wanted in Iceland and didn't get. Now, what's happening in Greece? And then I'm getting into the incredible Gulf news. Greece starts putting island land up for sale to save economy, London Guardian. That'd be like man on desert island cuts off his own hands and eats them to survive. No, that's not surviving. That's absorbing yourself. That's dying. This is all made up. Goldman Sachs went in, was their financial minister a decade ago when they made the change. They rule the country today. Goldman Sachs openly runs the country. And now the main industry Greece had, their one crop economy, was their islands. The country is an island. And they're now turning it over to the globalist. What are they going to have? Olives? That's their second biggest crop? They are a one crop economy. Desperate attempt to repay debts also driven by inability to find funds to develop infrastructure on islands. Oh, and so it's a good thing, you see. There's little that these shouts seriously rich as much as a little island in the sun to call your own. For Sir Richard Branson, it is a Nicar in the Caribbean. The billionaire Barclay brothers prefer the Channel Islands, while Aristotle Onassis married Jackie Kennedy on Scorpios, his Greek hideaway. Now Greece is making it easier for the rich and famous to fulfill their dreams by preparing to sell or offering long-term leases on some of its 6,000 sun-kissed islands in the desperate attempt to repay its mountainous debt. You got to love that. All of these big brokerage firm heads, some of them making $5, $6, $7, $8 billion a year. I was reading an Esquire article about that just this last weekend with this one guy who makes billions a year. And they're the ones that came in, took over the countries covertly. They're the ones that put their people in control of the treasuries. They're the ones that sold the derivatives and made money on that. Now that the countries are imploding because they were sold the debt bombs, they then go and sell their islands, not to the IMF, not to the World Bank. They bypass that directly and go to the banker kingpins, and they come and buy the islands, giving Greece back a pittance of the money stolen. Let me see. That'd be like if a bank robber robbed a bank, and then the bank was bankrupt, a little local bank, and then they knew the bank robber robbed it. He went and bought a mansion down the street, and then the old bank president, with the farmers who've lost everything, who invested in the bank, went with their hats and hands to the bank robber's house and said, "Will you give us a loan? We'll give you our wives, part of our property. We'll be your slaves, but will you just give us part of the money back to put in the bank so we can have the bank?" "I might just do that for you, my dear." This is rich, isn't it? This is bondage in your face. And the news, of course, being willing accomplices goes along with it. And, of course, when the president shows up for a big event or a summit, the news reports the security might cost $3, $4, $5, $6, $7 million in some cases when they have a little conference. But when the SPP meets secretly in Canada, it costs more than $200 million at one meeting in Banff. It costs more than $300 million, they reported 2 years ago, at their Montebello meeting outside of Ottawa, the capital in Canada. And when they meet in England, it cost over £200 million. Well, now they're meeting up in Canada, the G8 and G20, the private banking leaders. The real government is arriving, our owners. And for the few thousand protesters that brave being arrested for no reason, the press is being arrested, everyone, just if you're there with a camera, just on the street corner, the police come and arrest you. We've got it all over Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, the video of it. People being arrested just for just being there. You just know. It cost, first it was going to be $900 million, then $1 billion. Now the news is reporting over $1.1 billion for a three-day event. That is as big as the budget of the city they're meeting in each year. That's as big as the Austin budget every year. $1+ billion for 3 days. And there's news all over Canada saying, well, this is the price we pay to be leaders and have these great people here. And the debt will go to them. It'll go to the bankers. See, their religion is spending your money, because then when you go bankrupt, they control you. $1 billion G20 security bill cost of Canada's role in the world. That's CBC News. And of course, now they're reporting it's $1.2 billion. It says the G20 summit now sits at approximately $1.2 billion. So see, the headline is very deceptive. It's $1.2 billion. And then, of course, it'll probably be $1.5 by the time they're done. And, of course, this is a payoff to the police state and the private firms and the private security and their private police that were seen in Pennsylvania at the Pittsburgh event last year, where one of my reporters got arrested and where Luke Radowski got tortured. And at these events, they... They don't allow anyone on the major areas of the city streets. They attack old women coming out of stores with police dogs. That's on video. And they just basically suspend all liberty and freedom. Because your owners, your gods, your rulers, your kings. And they had private security in military uniforms snatching and grabbing people off the streets of Pittsburgh in front of everyone. I mean, secret police running around arresting everyone. The bankers are committing the greatest financial crimes and military crimes in history. They're fraudsters, they aren't even banksters, and they're going to be caught. They have been identified, they will be brought to justice. All right, I'm going to cover this more when Bob Chapman's on with us coming up in the third hour and in the fourth hour. We're going to open the phones up on this subject, and I'm going to spend an entire hour on this in the fourth hour today. More and more it looks like that bare minimum, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Pentagon, the shadow government is considering using the Gulf disaster as a pretext to stage some type of New Orleans-style martial law in a 3-4 state area from South Texas to Florida. And then the oil is also going to go up the East Coast during the tropical storm and hurricane season. So this is just extremely, extremely serious. And we have an article up on Infowars.com by Kurt Nemo. Oil industry insider and CFR member predicts Gulf evacuation. Buried in an article on the Gulf of Mexico scenarios and predictions on the Washington Post, quotes Matthew Simons, founder and chairman of Emeritus of Simons and Company International, who's CFR. In response to a tropical storm brewing in the Caribbean, Simmons says, we're going to have to evacuate the Gulf states. Can you imagine evacuating 20 million people? This story is 80 times worse than I thought. Now, is he doing that as CFR fear-mongering, or is he picking up on some of the other what could be potential fear-mongering out there on the internet in the last month, saying that, you know, there were already evacuations going on in the Gulf a month ago, which was not true? But troops are being obviously put in place and blocking the relief effort under orders from President Barry Sotero. The National Hurricane Center said today that a stormy region in the Caribbean will get organized and strengthened into a tropical storm. It has a 40% chance of becoming a tropical cyclone. In other words, a hurricane in the next 2 days, an estimate that was a zero a few days ago. Upper-level winds are expected to become more conducive for development of this system as it moves westward or west-northwestward around 10 miles per hour over the next couple of days, said the Baltimore Sun's meteorologist. There is a medium chance of this system becoming a tropical cyclone in the next 48 hours. AccuWeather also basically says the same thing. And if it gets blown in, if those, 50 million gallons a few weeks ago? I mean, who knows what it really is? They've been lying about how bad it is. 50, 60, 70 million gallons? I don't know. No one knows. But you can see it from satellite covering more than half the Gulf right now. If that gets blown in, see, right now it's in the currents out to sea and starting to go around Florida and out into the Atlantic. But if those hurricanes come in, the hydrologists and meteorologists know it's going to be blown into the shore. That means Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida. It's going to be extremely serious. And this oil is off-gassing a lot of fumes. It's confirmed deaths of cleanup workers. They have a new syndrome called Gulf Tilt. They're getting very sick. BP has ordered them not to wear respirators because then they have to admit that there are toxic fumes. This cover-up is starting to unravel. So key article, oil industry insider and CFR member predicts Gulf evacuation. Here's Reuters, methane in the Gulf astonishingly high, U.S. scientists say. And creating dead zones in the Gulf. BP And its oil's been hitting the Florida panhandle in the last 3-4 days, starting to hit other parts of the state. I mean, this is amazing. And so, yes, is it really deadly oil that's toxic? Does there need to be an evacuation, or are the globalists hyping this and pushing this? But it's gone from rumor to reality as the government starts to talk about, and I have an EPA report here, about evacuating people in certain areas of the Gulf. So we'll follow this. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, I'm extremely excited to have Governor Jesse Ventura, former Minnesota governor, with us. He's also the star of the hit TV show, number one new show on True TV, picked up for a second season. He's been out shooting in the last month, back from Mexico. A lot has happened behind the scenes. Of course, I'm not allowed to talk about it, and the governor, the head of the show, he can talk about as much of it as he wants, but it's been very interesting. I'll tell you this, I can't get emails because I'm consulting some on it, from home, from my employees' emails, to Tyrell and other people working on the show. So there's a lot of chicanery going on with the governor out there on the road, because he's getting close to some really dangerous issues. He'll talk about the oil spill. We'll get into the economy, the wars, McChrystal, all of it today. Of course, his new book has been on the New York Times bestseller list for the last 2 months. It's available in bookstores everywhere. Jesse Ventura with Dick Russell, American Conspiracies. It's also available at Infowars.com. And he's not on the talk circuit right now. You know, a few times a year he comes out and does interviews. He's giving us this interview. He gave Larry King one a few weeks ago. And so I feel very honored to have the governor join us. Governor, great to have you.
Great to be here, Alex. No, I only did the Larry interview because they requested and that Oliver Stone was going to be on. And I thoroughly enjoy Oliver's movie making and his talent. And if we could go on that for a moment, he sent me a copy of his film. I think it's called South of the Border, the documentary, and I watched it. And as I said on Larry King, I urge everyone to watch this film because it's on Hugo Chavez and it's on South America, and it also covers how things that we're hearing here through our media are totally wrong from what the reality is down there.
Well, I know the media lied and said that Chavez had said that a U.S. weapon caused the Haitian earthquake, and then it did get retracted later, but a little bitty paragraph in the Washington Post, the New York Times, he never said that.
Well, the thing is about it, it's even bigger than that, Alex. It's a case of this. It's now clear to me, and I don't get me wrong, I'm not anti-business, I'm not anti-anything, really. I'm a great believer in freedom. But it seems that any country that nationalizes their oil and nationalizes their natural resources and doesn't let our corporations go in there and, for lack of better terms, rape and pillage them, well, we then call that person a communist, a dictator, and we start working to oust them. I mean, we attempted a coup against Chavez back in 2003, but the people, the guy's been voted into office so many times, you can't imagine. All the other South American leaders love the guy. He comes from a very modest background of being one of the people. He truly is. And let people be their own judge. But when Oliver and I were on the show, here comes Congressman, what's his name from Florida?
Ding Dong.
Baseball, Connie Mack. And he's advocating that this film should be banned. And I ask him, have you seen it? And he goes, no. That's the big picture, Alex, is that we're supposed to be a free country. You don't have to like Hugo Chavez, but you should at least have the ability to learn about the guy from alternative sources and not just what our government tells us about him.
Well, that's the Renaissance way. And I did watch the Larry King episode, and he did say, basically, ban it. And what an amazing anti-American statement. Even if I disagree with something, I think that it should be available.
We don't ban things here. You know, banning things, that's ridiculous. We learn because we learn all about things and then make proper judgments, and we can all make them, but you certainly can't make them if you're not getting necessarily the whole truth or can't seek alternative methods of learning about stuff. If we rely solely on our government, Alex, and the mainstream soundbite media, we will be the most ignorant nation in the world.
Well, in many respects, we are. Stay there, Governor Jesse Ventura. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, for the balance of the hour, Governor Jesse Ventura joins us for this exclusive interview. And we're going to get into the open announcements of the federalization of the Internet, the march towards war with Iran. We're going to cover Lieberman and McCain's bill to secretly arrest U.S. citizens outside of judicial law, and only an act of Congress can order your release or even find out where you are. We're going to discuss all of this today, and he's also had some really spooky things happen. I wish he could tell you more, but he'll tell you as much as he can. You know, with his contract with True TV, he can't, you know, ahead of the season, tell you what's happening with the production, but it is wild what is going on. So that's coming up later in the hour. But for folks that just joined us, Governor, you were getting into a few weeks ago when you did Larry King, one of the only interviews you've done since you got back from Mexico, and they had this congressman on calling for the censorship of this Oliver Stone movie about Latin American leaders, Hugo Chavez, and their systems of government. And whether you agree with the film or hate the film, you shouldn't call for censoring it. But you've seen the film. Break down why you think it's viewing that everybody should see.
Well, everybody should see it because Oliver shows clearly how what the truth is and then shows how our mainstream media completely lie to us. They tell us a completely different story about the truth of what's going on. And the other thing that's huge is that the destiny, they don't want us, all they want to do is control their own destiny. They don't want us meddling and attempting to you know, do things down there that we've been doing for decades and decades. Like one of the leaders says, I'll be happy to have a United States military base in my country if they'll give me one by Miami. Now, isn't that fair? How is it that we can put military bases in all these foreign countries, yet they can't put any here?
Well, on top of that, we've got...
I mean, it's just things like that. And the other thing is, Alex, is they're now banding together six or eight of the countries down there, and they're not going to do business necessarily on foreign policy with the U.S. unless Cuba's included. And I think that's a wonderful idea.
Well, the quickest way to bring more freedom to Cuba would be to end the embargo.
Absolutely. The embargo is a miserable failure. It doesn't hurt Castro or his brother a bit. The only thing it harms is the Cuban people. That's the only thing.
Let's talk about that. You have met Fidel Castro, and then you actually got followed by the CIA. Tell folks what happened when you were in Cuba when you were governor and the aftermath of that.
Well, it was just, you know, I'm probably the only elected official who actually sat down with Fidel Castro, and I had an hour with him, and it was when he was in better health. You know, this was back in 2002. You know, since then I've heard, you know, it's only what I've heard that he's had health problems. But at the time I met him, he was sharp as a whip. I mean, you couldn't get a thing by him. In fact, when I was sitting with him, I only had an hour. I wore a watch, and I happened to just glance down at my watch to see that I had 20 minutes left. Castro was so perceptive immediately, and I just glanced. And when I looked up, he said, I'm sorry, am I keeping you from something? And I, of course, was honest. I said, no, sir. I said, but I know I only have an hour with you. And I glanced at my watch, and I see that I only have 20 minutes left. And I'd like to ask you some personal questions, if I could. And he said to me, ask me anything you want. And so then I went in and asked him about the murder of John F. Kennedy, because it was something that I had studied for the better part of my adult life. And here I had a chance to talk to someone who was right in the middle of it, and who in some scenarios he was attempted to be blamed for it. And so I wanted to get his perception of what happened back then. And, you know, if you're open-minded, minded like me, I realize that there, to every story, there's going to be three or four sides to that story. And to fully understand the story, you need to talk to three or four sides. And that's the problem, again, getting back to our country today, Alex. We're not getting three or four sides. We're getting one.
Well, as you've said, we have the two parties that are really almost identical twins. And they give us basically different flavors of poison Kool-Aid. But at the end of the day, there's really no difference.
No, there's none whatsoever. It's all the stuff that's coming out, you know, and then we'll transition now. You know, let's go to the show. We've been out shooting some episodes, and last week I spent the whole 2 to 3 days basically under surveillance by Homeland Security and tailed by the Coast Guard and all other sorts of stuff. And we weren't doing anything illegal at all. We were merely going somewhere to film something.
Well, they've got to know that Governor Jesse Ventura isn't going to stage a terror attack.
Well, I would think they wouldn't. I think that my record speaks for itself, that I love my country, but that I'm a firm believer, Alex, that before you go out and chastise someone like Hugo Chavez, that you should make sure that your own backyard is clean and tidy and up to snuff.
Can you even give people
that about the United States of America today? We have a lot of problems in our own backyard that we ought to take care of instead of meddling in everyone else's business.
Can you give people a hint as to the type of thing you were trying to get a look at?
Well, we just wanted to film a certain location in the country. So, and we were in the water. We were in international water. And we just wanted to photograph what was there. And we were tailed by the Coast Guard and put under surveillance by Homeland Security.
Well,
and before we could even go out, we had a whole harbor of boats that wouldn't take us because of fear of Homeland Security.
And now,
Alex, isn't Homeland Security there supposed to be protecting us?
Yes, they are.
Then why are they striking fear into United States citizens, red, white, and blue people through and through, like me and you, and like a lot of these fishermen? Why are they spreading that type of fear to them?
Well, it's come out in Homeland Security documents that they wear the black uniforms to intimidate.
I don't know about all that, but you know what? I'm starting to call them the Gestapo. And that's some pretty strong words, Alex.
It is. Elaborate on that, Governor.
Well, to me, they seem to be some sort of security force that's getting control of everything in our country now, and they supersede anything else because they're federal. Much the same as the federales in Mexico.
Well, they've also been caught breaking the law, spying without warrants on American citizens, that even in non-terror-related cases. And they don't want you showing the public what you were showing because there's 36 of those they're building around the country, and it's not defensive. But I better be quiet at that.
No, what you're talking about is not what I'm talking about.
Oh, I knew you guys were working on that other thing.
Yeah,
oh,
we're working on all sorts of different stuff right now. We got 8 to 10 episodes to do, and I'm already working on 3 to 4 right now as we speak. Some days I'm doing this episode, other days I'm doing that one. But then I also found it very interesting. I went to a place where, Alex, for the mere infraction of trespassing, it's become a capital offense.
Really?
They can shoot and kill you. For trespassing.
And that's a place out in the desert.
Well, and there's no fences or anything. And if you make the mistake and cross this line out there, it's authorized. They can kill you without a trial or anything.
Governor, your phone was just breaking up. I hate to add to the conspiracy atmosphere, but repeat what you just said because your phone was breaking up.
I'm sorry. Well, the place that we were at has no fences or anything. It's marked. you're out in the desert, you're not paying attention, and you're riding a dirt bike or something, and you pass by this particular boundary that's not very well marked, and they have the right to shoot you and kill you?
Because they say they have the right.
Well, it says that it's authorized, and that they and the federal law is listed underneath it. So apparently somewhere along the line, our Congress gave them the right to kill you for trespassing.
Well, I agree with you, Governor. Just like Congress in the past said blacks weren't human.
You know, I mean, somewhere along the line that must have taken place, because it's written on law on the when you read it.
Well, you've got Homeland Security all over you. You know, as part of my role, consulting some on the show, just with facts and information and research, I can't get an email to anybody all of a sudden.
You know, let me work on that. You know, I'll find out about that probably over the weekend and early next week. But, you know, I don't know if it's really that mysterious, Alex, or not. I'm not sure yet. But I just am appalled because, I mean, I was a governor. I'm a mayor. I served my country for 6 years in the Navy. I'm as patriotic as anybody could imagine, and it just seems like if you speak out now or question anything in this country, you will be treated like you're some adversary to the country.
Well, that's because the country's been seized by offshore banks that have been looting trillions of dollars from us, and Homeland Security and the military now work for them.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I hate to say it, but I'm not sure. It's very well. How about the news in Afghanistan? Now I know why we're there.
Oh yes, the
lithium.
The lithium. And
oh yeah, the biggest. Now it becomes very clear to me why we're in Afghanistan.
Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest. Quick break. We're going to come back with him. Get into Afghanistan, General Stanley McChrystal. And a little bit more about the TV show he's working on. This is really informative, exciting information. Well, Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest. He's the best-selling author of American Conspiracy. It's available at Infowars.com, along with his last bestseller at Infowars.com in the online video bookstore. This is a short segment, long segment coming up with Governor Jesse Ventura. I've got a bunch of Twitter questions I'm going to get to as well for the governor. But continuing, a lot of other things have happened with the TV show, but we'll just leave it at that because you're still working on a lot of these stories and don't want to alert the establishment to what you're doing. But before we get into Afghanistan, going back to you saying it appears Homeland Security's Gestapo, I mean, you are intensifying your view of these people. Why?
Well, because I find them in my dealings with them to be very uncooperative. They seem to use a lot of scare tactics. And, you know, excuse me, we're United States citizens. Our police and our whatever should not be out there and using those types of behavior. The bottom line is this, Alex. A few months ago, I signed a check for well into six figures to the United States government, right?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about. I paid my freaking taxes. Well, I'm sure it's the same in Austin, Texas, as it is in South Minneapolis. And that's this. When you're paying the money, doesn't that make you the boss?
That's our republic. That's our form of government.
No, I mean in life.
Yes.
If you're paying the money, that makes you the boss.
The customer's always right.
Well, I'm paying the money, and these people treat me like I'm some sort of criminal. I had one of them, quote, say to me, "You're not the governor anymore," with his back turned to me.
Wow.
Now, I found that completely disrespectful, and I found it outrageous that these people that I pay their salaries with my taxes, and they can speak and treat to me in that manner.
Oh, well, it's come out that Homeland Security is surveilling members of Congress. Same thing in England. They're using MI6 and MI5 to spy on members of Parliament. When a member of Parliament released the info, they SWAT teamed his house in a, quote, search for intimidation. So the bureaucracy has just run wild.
Well, you know, I can't answer any of that, Alex, because I'm ignorant to it. All I can, you know, I live in Mexico half the year, but all I can say is that's the results that I've gotten since I've been back in the U.S., and it makes me want to go back to Mexico because even the federales aren't that bad.
Well, this is amazing. I sure wish you could tell people more, but they'll see it on the television transmission. When is that coming up? In the fall again?
Yeah, it should be. Just don't mark it in, don't put it in stone, but look for it around October. You know, just around, I think around October, hopefully.
And I guess
that's what I'm hoping for anyway. There's nothing, you know, I know no definitive time or anything at this point in time, but I would say mid through the fall that we'll be far enough along to where we can start another airing another 8 to 10 episodes.
And it's too early to let people in on what some of the episodes are about.
No, I'll never do that.
Sure.
If I do that, they can
have I understand.
Of learning when everyone else does.
Same here. I know the shows, and I've got my mouth completely zipped. But this season is going to be even more hardcore than the last. I mean, I think that's fair to say.
Well, it might be. It's certainly, it's starting off with a lot more resistance than the first season did. And usually when you're getting more resistance, that means it could be more exciting.
What's the old World War II?
Put it this way. It's been more exciting for me so far.
But you're a fighter. I mean, that makes you only want to push harder.
Well, you know, I believe in my country, and I believe that the citizens of the country are supposed to be number one, and it seems that we're not anymore. And so in light of that fact, I'll always fight to try to make it that the citizens are number one, because that's what I believe our forefathers had in mind when they created the country.
We're going to go to break in a moment, and I do want to come back and get into Afghanistan and then the BP oil spill.
Like I said, Alex, I now know why we're in Afghanistan. It's called lithium. That's what every computer, every cell phone, everything that our modern technology must have. It's as valuable as oil, and they've determined Afghanistan is the spot in the world that has it. That makes things way more clear to me as to why. The war on terror is a sidelight. That's the cannon fodder. That's the red herring.
Let's elaborate on that with Governor Jesse Ventura on the other side of this quick break. Of course, the new book out for several months on the New York Times bestseller list, going to number 4, American Conspiracies. We've got it discounted at Infowars.com, and you can get a free film of your choice when you get the book at Infowars.com. So you can't beat that deal, and you support the movement to awaken the American people to this global crime syndicate. Governor Jesse Ventura, straight ahead. We're going to get into the war, McChrystal, the oil spill, a bunch of other issues, but I wish you knew what I knew about the new season of Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura coming up in the fall. Now, you were worried, Governor, last time that it wouldn't air, and you had a bet with the crew and with myself and others that it wasn't going to air, and then it did air and got top ratings. Now, you say you're getting a lot more resistance. Do you think there's a chance it won't air this time?
Well, if it don't, it won't be from the people at True TV, Mark Juris, because he's assured me, in fact, he told me point-blank, eye-to-eye, that it never, ever entered a conversation that these shows wouldn't air. And so, unless, you know, I fully now expect them to air. I mean, they let the first season go. How would they now come out for the second round and say, no, these can't? So, I'm moving forward with the full anticipation that they'll all be on.
Well, it's also a number one show, so if something happens there, you're going to be able to find another venue if you choose to continue your important work.
Well, I don't know, because let's all remember a lot of the TV stations fall under the same corporate umbrella. You know, that situation does loom out there, you know. And just like what I've learned through the grapevine, you know, things pass through the grapevine and you learn a lot more 5-7 years later. I now learned that MSNBC badmouthed and said that I was impossible to work with and all sorts of nonsense like that because of when I didn't get my TV show because I opposed the invasion and the war in Iraq.
Well, I wanted to bring that up. National polls now show that Obama is dipping below 40 points. He's losing his Democrat support. He's now expanded more wars than George Bush has, statistically, according to the Washington Post as well. I mean, this war situation just goes on and on and on. What's your view on that?
Well, for me, it's as simple as this, Alex. It's time to end this nonsense. We're the only country in the world that is occupying other countries and invading other countries. We're the only one. Nobody else out there is occupying anybody. And my view is let's not only bring the troops home, let's bring our, how many, 78 foreign bases or whatever ridiculous amount it is all throughout the world. Let's come home. That day should be over with. That's my opinion. People may not agree with me, but my opinion is enough of this.
Well, we wouldn't be bankrupt if we weren't trying to be an empire. And the point I always try to point out is the American people pay for this empire, but we're not getting any of the goods that are being extracted. And that would be immoral even if we were. But this idea that we're going to get the money from the $1 trillion of lithium or we're going to get the oil. No, we fit the bill for these multinational corporations that use our nation as their muscle.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's not new. Go back and read about two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner General Smedley Butler. He wrote a great book way back in the early part of the last century, talking about in the end of his fabulous military career, he felt that they were nothing but the strong arm for corporate America down in Central and South America. That when they wouldn't cooperate, they sent Smedley and the Marine Corps in. And that's what I got in trouble about a month and a half ago, or whatever, 2 months, maybe longer now. I don't know, time flies when you're having fun. But I went on Fox News and stated unequivocally, I said, why does this country think that we're so shocked that we would get attacked by terrorists if indeed we did, to the level we have? And I said, when we've been practicing terrorism for 50 years, we just call it foreign policy.
Well, now they have over 1,000 drones operated by the Pentagon and the CIA separately, where people 10,000 miles away, 25-year-olds, are piloting drones. And now the headline in the AP was CIA to now kill with drones unnamed terrorists. And if they just see someone with a gun in Pakistan or Afghanistan, they drop a Hellfire missile on them. And they admit if we kill 150 people at a wedding to kill one bad guy, that's okay. Since when is dropping a bomb on a wedding and killing a bunch of men, women, and children because they think one bad guy may be there? Since when is that not terror?
Well, and not only that, but look what we've done to Cuba for 50 years. Cuba has done nothing to us, you know, yet we've blown up ships in their harbor, we've attempted to destroy their cane field, attempted to destroy their economy, we put an embargo on them that has caused them nothing but suffering down there, we've attempted to kill their president, and of course you're familiar with the character Orlando Bosch, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, well here's a guy that blew up a Cuban plane with 73 civilians on it.
And he was admittedly CIA.
And he gets pardoned by George Bush Sr.
He was admittedly CIA and got pardoned by George Bush Sr., blew up the Olympic team, the Cuban Olympic team. But on top of that, we have the ABC News headline, U.S. government plan to terrorize cities as pretext for war with Cuba. They had a 9/11-style attack planned to be blamed on Cuba, but Kennedy said no.
Exactly. And that was way back in 61, called Operation Northwoods. And the point of the matter is, and why do you think Che Guevara grew to hate us so much? Here was a guy who was a medical doctor, someone that took the oath of healing, and he ended up a revolutionary that murdered people and all of that. But the big question to ask is, why did he feel that way? Well, he felt that way when he took the motorcycle ride in South America, and he saw indigenous people that had lived on the land for 200 to 300 years being forced off the land by United Fruit and U.S. corporations. That's why we're hated so much throughout the world, is because we inflict ourselves upon. And another thing where we inflict is in the so-called war on drugs. That's just an excuse to give us a military presence in all these other countries.
Well, I mean, the Pentagon knows, our own government knows, that if they decriminalize drugs, almost all the crime will disappear like a vapor, and that Mexico is collapsing because of the drug war down there, the cartels battling each other, and you've got the cartels that are allied with the government who pay the government off, waging war on the other cartels that aren't laundering their money through U.S. banks. That's what the whole war is really about. And now, Governor, I know you've been out of the country and on the TV show, Fox News interviewed a Marine Corps colonel who admitted, yes, we grow the opium over there. We have to, or the Taliban will get the market. You know, that's the excuse in the 1980s of shipping the crack cocaine in was, well, if we don't ship it in, somebody else will. I mean, this is incredible. So they're now admitting, even in Reuters and AP, that our government is producing the opium in Afghanistan.
Well, it doesn't surprise me because by everything that I've read, when the Taliban took over, they put them out of business. That they took these guys and started tossing them in jail and stuff and literally shut down the opium business. And what's interesting is it coincides perfect with the collapse of the banks. And now the opium business is back up full throttle again, and the banks are back doing good business, aren't they?
$500-plus billion a year out of Afghanistan alone, laundered, leveraged. That's you can leverage it 10 times through the fractional reserve banking. Good point, Governor Ventura. Governor Jesse Ventura joins us. His new book is several months on the New York Times bestseller list, as high as number 4. Jesse Ventura, American Conspiracies. It's also available at Infowars.com. I think the good news here, though, is your show, number 1, for a new show on True TV, your book a bestseller. Judge Andrew Napolitano is the best guy on Fox, anti-corruption. His new show premiered on Fox Business, highest ratings ever on that network. Anybody who tells it like it is successful, and I think that's a mirror of the state of the country. There is an awakening happening. Are you seeing that when you travel around America?
I'm starting to see the kindling starting again. You know, some people have gotten in contact with me, that have said that the Tea Party has been taken over by, Sarah Palin and them, but there still is a core group of Tea Party people out there, the Ron Paul people. And they're out there, and they're starting to grumble a little bit, and we're starting to see more. But I have to tell you something, Alex. I no longer support the third-party movement.
Why is that?
Well, I know you'll find that shocking, but here's why. I believe so strongly that the two parties make the rules, and for any third party to play in the game, they're going to have to corrupt themselves just like the Democrats and Republicans do. Well, we already have a two-headed monster. Why would we want a three-headed one? Instead, this is my position now. My position now is I want political parties banned. Get rid of them.
Well, the founders had a big debate about that, because look at the parliamentary system in England. You can have 4 or 5 parties, the same special interests, just buy them all off.
Well, the thing is this. We've already got 2 corrupt parties. Why do we need a third? And for me, it's mostly in the voting booth, Alex. You can still have political parties. They can still endorse, but no one can officially be part of them. We need to turn them into being nothing more than lobbyists, too.
Well, that's an interesting idea because...
And that way, wait, let me finish. And that way, when you go in to vote, all you see is the name John Smith. It doesn't say John Smith Republican, John Smith Democrat. See, people are given the scapegoat of being able to vote for the party rather than the person. This forces you to go back voting for the person rather than the party.
Wow, that's a really good idea, because then you also don't have the mafia of the parties who, when new congressmen and women come in, they tell them you're not going to have any authority or power unless you play ball,
exactly.
And then the vote is negated.
Exactly. Turn the parties into nothing more than lobbyists. You have to run on your name. No party can be listed on a ballot. It also then makes it incumbent for you, the voter, to educate yourself, which is also good.
Well, the problem with third parties is they can never build up the muscle of the other parties that are over 200 years old.
And that's because they have to corrupt themselves, Alex. When the two parties make the rules to the game and control it as completely as they do, the only way a third party can survive is by falling to the same corruption. And then you've got a three-headed monster instead of a two-headed one.
Well, you've always said vote out incumbents and don't vote for Democrats or Republicans. But the good news is every incumbent is being voted out in the off-year elections. Every pro-establishment candidate, be they Republican or Democrat, whether it's...
That's a hell of a start.
I mean, well, this isn't just one party's in favor and another party's out of favor. This is a real political realignment, and the media ran a hoax a year and a half ago. They ignored Republicans being booed at town halls. They only focused on Democrats being booed, and they lied and said the Tea Parties were Republican. That then became a self-fulfilling prophecy where Democrats then wouldn't be involved with them. And so that was MSNBC and Fox literally engaged in a staged tag team. But going back to MSNBC... I had them demonize me a few weeks ago. They came down here. Chris Matthews interviewed me for about 2 hours, and they used about 3 minutes of me, took it all out of context, edited it, and basically said that I'm calling for violence, and which I've never done in any way. And that's the new talking point. And I've just found that MSNBC is the most deceptive and nasty group I've ever seen. And what's your take on that? Because you experienced...
Well, I have a bit of a biased opinion, I guess, because, like I said, they hired me for a three-year contract. And then when they learned I was opposed to the invasion... Because remember, when they hired me, they were not leftists. Keith Olbermann was not a liberal then. They were Fox Lite. They were attempting to compete with Fox, we laughingly called them Fox Lite. And when they found out that they had just hired Phil Donahue, and Phil was their number one rated show, when they found out that Phil and I both opposed the invasion and the war in Iraq before it happened, Phil was removed, the number one show, and I wasn't allowed on.
And that shows what political whores they are. Keith Olbermann will read whatever he's told off that teleprompter.
They all will. Hannity will. Glenn, you know, I just glanced at a book on Glenn Beck. You know what his claim to fame is? Completely? He's a top 40 disc jockey. Now, why should he carry any credibility whatsoever? He's never been an elected official. He's never worked in government. He never served his country in the military. He hasn't done anything but be a top 40 disc jockey who found his niche in what he's doing, and he's becoming exceptionally wealthy over it.
Well, my issue with Beck is he's flip-flopped so much, and he just came out of nowhere in 2002. And for those of us that have been doing this for decades, it's frustrating to see him turn the entire awakening movement into some type of corporate Republican foxoid animal so it can be discredited and so the movement against tyranny can be basically co-opted. That's my problem with Glenn Beck. I mean, I sent him where the FEMA camps are, the Civilian Inmate Labor Camp program, the Houston Chronicle, the Wall Street Journal about the FEMA camps. I mean, it's actually hidden in plain view. And on his show, he just came out and debunked straw men. And he's done that. So I mean, he said Ron Paul supporters may be violent terrorists. And then now he says he loves Ron Paul. So he's always followed that government talking point. And so I know he's not for real. I don't have to even agree with somebody 90% to like him. I mean, I disagree with some of your views, but I know you're for real. I know you can be counted on. I know you really stand for something and are a good guy, you know, at your bottom. But with Beck, he is a...
They're all that way. Every one of them. I learned that when I was doing my show. One of the big fights I had with MSNBC on a daily basis, they would send you what topics you could talk about. And for me, at that time, it was Kobe Bryant and Lacey Peterson. Now, those are good human interest stories if you're into National Enquirer stuff. I'm not into that. I'm into news that affects us on a general basis, everyone in the country, in some way, shape, or form. And those types of stories don't. And so I would fight with them every day from on high, saying I'm not doing Lacey Peterson, I'm not doing Kobe Bryant. Well, I don't care to have an opinion on either. Yes, the Peterson thing was a tragic murder. But there were 10,000 other murders that took place.
Well, what it is, Governor, is a feedback loop, as you know. They set the agenda with fluff and crap, because if they ever gave us real issues, and then it would become a self-fulfilling process where the people would want to know about real issues instead of being distracted with, what happened with a murder in the Caribbean or what's going on with a congressman and his pages. People would be talking about real issues, but now that the alternative media has gotten so powerful.
Hey, you want to hear what one of the big stories up here in Minnesota is lately?
What?
There's a state legislator who came out a number of years ago that he was gay, right? Which is fine and dandy. I have no problem electing gay people to office. If they can do the job, who cares? Well, the big thing up here now is he was seen going out to dinner with supposedly some porno star. Well, how does that affect any way he governs? It has nothing to do. It's his private life.
Well, they feed us with this propaganda. And so the question I have for you, and we're skipping the break here. This is a network break, so stay with us, everyone. Here's Politico. Lieberman bill would strip citizenship, secretly arrest you, put you in a dungeon. It's moving through the Senate right now. New bill gives Obama kill switch to shut down the internet, and the FCC announces new regulations. They're proposing a box in your house. They're already putting this in Australia, software that blocks what you're allowed to look at and surveils what you're doing. And so what's happening is they know the alternative media is kicking the hind end of the corporate media that wants to force all of this fluff on us. And so they are now moving as a perfect storm, corporate media and government, to try to block the alternative media, Governor.
You know, if people aren't outraged over that, if that doesn't cause a revolution, what should? I mean, that's absurd. And I can't believe Joe Lieberman's Jewish, isn't he?
Yes.
Of all people, why would he support something like that?
It's insane. It sounds like something run out of Stalinist Russia or Nazi Germany.
It sounds right out of Nazi Germany to me. Exactly. And that's what just baffles me. Him, of all people, would be the signer and the carrier of this bill that would give government control over literally, and they could define who's considered good and who's considered bad.
The bill actually says for any intelligence person, for any intelligence reason, it's the Violent Belligerence Act, that a designate of the Attorney General or the President or the Pentagon, that they can literally snatch and grab you and use enhanced interrogation, and that you can never be released, never given a trial, and only an act of Congress can even find out where you are.
And this is going to be inside the United States of America.
This is racing through the Senate right now.
Boy.
John McCain's the co-sponsor, and they have a bill that mirrors the bureaucracy of the FCC and Federal Trade Commission. They have a bill that puts in the black boxes and has cybersecurity take over the internet. They're already building the NSA hubs. They've got one down at San Antonio. When reporters try to go take photos of the huge facility, police come out and arrest them. That's in the news. I mean, Governor, this, you're right when you say Gestapo. This is a total takeover right now of our society.
Well, if you know, what can you say? If we allow them to do that, then I guess we deserve what we allow them to do.
Well, God bless you. You're fighting hard. I mean, you could have just retired and ridden off to the sunset. I know that's what you want to do. But, I mean, here you are fighting the tyranny, and now you're being surveilled and followed around by Homeland Security.
Well, what can you say? It's nice to be popular.
Well, we've only got about 5-6 minutes left, Governor. I just can't thank you enough for giving us this exclusive interview outside of any other interviews you're doing this week or even.
Oh, I'm doing none, Alex. In fact, I'm playing a lot of golf right now on every day that I'm not working, because I'm treating this whole summer as a full work summer. So on days that I'm not working, I'm doing what I'm relaxing to the max, no different than when somebody works Monday through Friday. Well, on the weekend they relax, and so when I'm home now, I relax, because I'm now out on the road again. And, I'm not getting any younger at doing all this stuff.
Absolutely. We appreciate the exclusive interview and your time. Getting into some other subjects here, the Gulf oil spill. I mean, Obama and his controllers really have blocked the states and others from creating.
To me, it's unconscionable. How could an oil company not have a plan in place for a leak? That's the bottom line to me, Alex. They drill all these wells under the surface of the ocean all over the world, and they don't have a clue how to cap one off if something goes wrong?
Well, looks like Obama may get his carbon tax because of this, though. I mean, what does putting a bunch of taxes on us have to do with fixing the oil well?
It doesn't. But the point is, how on earth can they... I'm speechless. How could they not have some type of emergency standard operating procedure that is not in place if one of these things goes haywire?
I agree with you.
That's where the bottom line ends for me. And yet now they want to build more of them, and they still don't know how to cap them off. Shouldn't they learn how to cap them off if something goes wrong before we continue to drill more of them?
Well, they knew how, and they ordered Halliburton and Anadarko, who were running the rig, to not follow those procedures. And
who
that's,
did?
BP did. That's actually, I've called for a criminal investigation.
Well, that's outrageous, you know. And like I said, before any new drilling's done, they better have a rock-solid procedure that works to stop it if something goes wrong.
Well, yes, sir, Governor, they did, and I've got the Coast Guard hearings they had 3 weeks ago. It's gotten very little news. Atlantic Monthly and others have covered it. And in those minutes, they talked to the ship engineers, the drilling rig engineers, and they said that the well was leaking 2 months before, not 2 weeks before, and that the whole thing happened because BP told them to do cost-saving measures that in their words, I told them... And this is witnesses that I told them it would effing explode and catch on fire.
Well, then there's people that ought to go to jail then. It's as cut and dry and simple as that. The people who did that should go to jail.
I agree
with
you.
That's all I got to say.
I agree with you.
It's a Forrest Gump, and that's all I got to say about that.
We've only got about 2-3 minutes left with you, Governor. In closing, the Iran situation, they're putting more sanctions on them. They're talking about boarding Iranian ships, engage in regular commerce. Israel's got nuke subs off their coast. Iran has backed off trying to run through the Israeli blockade. What's your view on what even the LA Times is saying today could shape up to be the start of World War III?
Well, I don't know if it'll shape up to World War III or not. But I think it's been on the radar screen for a long, long time. Let me finish your show by telling your listeners this. I have become a huge fan of Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty. I've read all his books he's written. I now have 8 hours of CD that I've become in contact with. And for those that don't know who Colonel Prouty was, he died in 2001, but he always said nothing just happens. Everything is planned. And the point being is Fletcher Prouty was the Mr. X character in Oliver Stone's great movie JFK, the character played by Donald Sutherland. That's who he was in real life. And when you read Prouty's books, you will get a total new history lesson from World War II to today. And you'll understand clearly that each and every one of these wars is pre-planned, that they're always planned for third world countries, and that there's never anything that the military can achieve in which to declare victory. And that's exactly what we've had in every war since World War II.
And Skyhorse Publishing...
It does not surprise me, Alex, that we're going into Iran. I think it's been planned for decades.
And Skyhorse Publishing has republished The Secret Team, available at Infowars.com. Governor Jesse Ventura, thanks for spending time.
Thanks.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back live. ladies and gentlemen, now into hour number three, a power-packed, exclusive interview with Governor Jesse Ventura. He wasn't going to do any interviews for the next, really, 3 to 4 months, but he did the show with Oliver Stone and Larry King Live because they asked him, and he did this show because we were talking a few weeks ago about it, and he'd offered to come down to Austin when he was in Texas working on a JFK piece, but he ended up doing interviews in Dallas instead of here, and so he's run out of time to come sit in on the show, his idea. He still may do it when he's done shooting the TV show in the fall, but that'd be neat. Have Jesse Ventura. He said he'd come do a whole week down here. I could probably hold him to it, but I probably won't. He's a busy guy. But that was an exclusive interview. You won't be hearing any more interviews with Ventura for the next few months unless it's something like Larry King Live. He's challenged Glenn Beck to a debate to have him on, but Beck is afraid to do it. I don't know why. I mean, Beck would get even higher ratings off that. Beck's a smart guy. He's a talented guy. I don't know why he should be scared of a Jesse Ventura. Jesse's a formidable intellect as well, but, I mean, he's also a nice guy, especially when he's in studio with you. I mean, he's friendly in a debate. I don't know what Glenn Beck is scared of is my point. He calls him stupid. Jesse Ventura's a big stupid idiot, and he talks like this. No, he doesn't. Jesse's a really nice, smart guy, and I count him as a friend, and I'm honored that he counts me as a friend. And, he gets a lot of advice from me. I get advice from him, and his wife's a sweetheart. His kids are great people. Tyrell's a great guy. I mean, they're just really good people. I know Jesse Ventura's real, and I don't agree with him on every issue. But I love the fact that he's real and he is for the little guy. And same thing with Ron Paul. I don't agree with Ron Paul on every facet of every nuance. About 98% of Ron Paul I agree with. About 98% of Judge Andrew Napolitano I agree with. I agree with about 90% of what Ventura says, but I love his heart. I agree with about 85% of what Glenn Beck says. But the 15% is duplicitous and deceptive, and there's that evil twinkle. And my gut churns, and I would love to embrace Glenn Beck. Folks, I've been offered big network radio jobs. I've been offered big network TV jobs a decade ago. Okay, I was, and I know they tell all the girls this, you tell all the girls that. But, I mean, I really was vetted and offered the heir apparent to Rush Limbaugh, okay? Look at me now. Look at all the success we've had here without them, without selling out. So I could be where Glenn Beck is. I could be making $45 million a year. But I don't care. I mean, the little bit of money I've got, I can live in a comfortable house, drive a car that doesn't break down, wear clothes that don't have holes in them. After that, I mean, I love the analogy. And Bob Chapman's coming up in the next segment. The parable, what's the other term for it when you tell a story to describe something? The point is, allegory, that Daryl Rundis uses of, would you sell your eyes for $1,000 and be blind? Would you sell it for $1 million, $1 billion? I mean, you could say, Alex, here is $1 trillion, sell your eyeballs, be blind. And I probably would do it and then try to give the money to charity. But I mean, it would still be a hard decision. And most people wouldn't. I mean, I'm somebody who is into self-sacrifice at a very primitive level. I mean, it's what I believe in. It's what floats my boat, challenging corruption, challenging evil as a warrior, just in my very programming is what I'm about. But, I mean, you wouldn't sell your eyes for all the money in the world. Well, what would you sell your soul for? The eyes are just the window to the soul. I mean, I can't be bought because it's impossible. You understand? I mean, maybe if my children were starving, as soon as they weren't starving, I would go and explain what had happened. I mean, it's just, I cannot be bought. I cannot be threatened.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Lieberman would arrest U.S. citizens, secretly strip them. Lieberman bill would strip citizens, throw you into a secret dungeon. No judge, no court. You can be tortured. Politico. New bill gives Obama kill switch to shut down the internet. Financial Times of London reporting black boxes to control your internet and what you can see on your television and your internet and surveil everything you do. Why are they doing this? Because they're scared of invisible empire, a new world order defined. They're scared of Camp FEMA, American lockdown. They're scared of Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic. They're scared of fall of the Republic. The presidency of Barack H. Obama. They're scared of secret team. They're scared of Jesse Ventura, American conspiracies. They are scared of the proliferation in the info war. They are scared of the books and the videos and the materials that will wake people up and that will educate you on what the New World Order is doing. They know the people are awakening, and they know the people are awakening fast. Very, very fast, my friends. People are awakening extremely fast, and they understand they're in trouble. That's why they want to start a war with Iran. That's why they want to bankrupt us. So we're so poor, we're just busy trying to feed our children and don't have two pennies to rub together to stand up against them. That is their mode of control. I had National British Magazine here yesterday, and the famous photographer, well-known photographer, I later learned, was a fan of the show, but the writer was kind of skeptical. And, you know, he does, you know, cover stories on national goalies in England and famous politicians. And I mean, and now I'm this big feature they're doing. And they said, no, we know about the arrogance, the population control people, because he started talking about Harvard people he'd interviewed, Harvard people he'd talked to, who were just like, yes, the elites will have all the life extension, and we're going to just basically exterminate the rest of you. And they said, well, if you had to hit a button and have your bank account go up, but a whole African village dies, would you do it? Yes, I would do it. You know, we're the elite. We have the money. You're not going to have the future. You're going to die. I mean, this is what they write. This is what they say. This is what they put in eco-science. This is what they believe. You can't sell out to that. Sell out to something that's guaranteed to kill your children and grandchildren? I mean, we're that deep into this. I mean, would you line your grandchildren up? Let's say you're 25 years old today. You haven't had your grandchildren yet. But would you line them up and blow their heads off if it gave you power now? No. Would you sell out to that? There is no selling out to this scientific dictatorship. There is only resisting it if you have any soul, any common sense, any care about the species. These people have decided we're a disease. They've decided to get rid of us. And so go to InfoWars.com and support us. These are tools that will wake people up. They want to shut the web down. They want to shut down alternative films. They demonize me all over radio, television, and print media that I'm calling for violence when I'm not, because they want to arrest my butt. Because they're afraid of my films and the documentaries we carry and the work we do. Get the DVDs. Secondarily, it financially supports us. We need your support. We're not financed by the New World Order. We're financed by you. Make that decision. Do you want to support us? Well, obviously, what other decision can you make but to support us? Infowars.com to visit the online video, bookstore, T-shirt, ball caps. All of it is about spreading the word. Got all these new T-shirts that have come in. Legalized freedom. You name it. New Don't Tread on Me shirts, all available at InfoWars.com, or call toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. Again, P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. And you can also get Jesse Ventura's new book and the Secret Team by Fletcher Prouty, discounted at InfoWars.com as well. See, he read that book written by the head of Black Ops at the Pentagon, the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA, about how the U.S. funded the communists and created all the enemies and staged everything. I mean, once you really realize that, you realize it's all a stinking fraud, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I'm done ranting now for the balance of the hour. We're going to open the phones up now at 1-800-259-9231 for your financial questions or your Iran questions, specifically for Bob Chapman of theinternationalforecaster.com. He joins us every Friday, and we really appreciate him coming on with us. There is so much to talk about with the economy that I want to go over. But first off, they admit in the Washington Post that this new banking regulatory reform is run by a office of the Federal Reserve with unlimited power to take over any other institutions they want, and that this is literally a banking dictatorship. And separately, Greece is selling off their 600 islands to the very bankers that sold them the derivatives. I mean, this is just too much, Bob Chapman.
Well, you're absolutely correct. I have to say, I saw the piece that you did on Monday morning, and I thought it was terrific. I'll have it in tomorrow's international forecaster regarding the false flag event known as the oil spill or oil slick or whatever you want to call it. And it's too bad you did it so early, because on Tuesday, they released information that Vanguard, which is a group of mutual funds and money managers, had sold BP stock as well. And it just happens that the president has his accounts with Vanguard. Did you hear that?
No. I mean, I knew a bunch of other funds were doing this. Break down. I mean, I know Vanguard's one of the biggest mutual funds out there. Tell us, Bob Chapman.
Well, very simply, they sold off their BP. And they, like the other two parties, Haywood, the CEO of BP, and Goldman Sachs, and who knows how many others we don't know about, they sold off. And it just so happens that the president has his money there, so there's no such thing as coincidences. So I would say, in all probability, they get a call, and someone said to them, look, you don't want to own this stock anymore. Get out of it. Don't ask any questions.
And we can't have the federal government investigate this. Record stock dumping by the BP CEO the week before, record stock dumping in BP by Goldman Sachs that the year before, the chairman of Goldman Sachs had also been the co-chair of BP. That's how heavily invested they are in an ownership position, one of the main ownership positions in BP. And I've seen a bunch of other mutual funds that dumped the week before, and now Vanguard that holds the president's. That, Bob, that is amazing.
Well, I just, those coincidences that happened. You know, Colonel Prouty was talking about that, as Jesse just told us. You know, I learned when I was in counterintelligence, there are no coincidences. And Jesse just bore that out. And, of course, Mr. Prouty did as well, Colonel Prouty. And it just so happens, I was on doing an interview this morning again in Athens, which is going to be in a public television program. And I spoke with the reporter, the host, whatever you would call it, about the sale of the islands. And Nikonos, I think, is the key one they want to sell first. And I went through and discussed what I think about the Greek situation, and I gave them a list of Bilderbergers from the manufacturing, banking, bureaucrats, politicians in Greece who have attended these meetings, which they didn't have. And I told them what, you know, what these people are up to. And I also told them specifically, do not allow the government to sell off anything. And, of course, I told them about Papandreou's background as a Bilderberger and as an Illuminist. And that'll be all over Greece and all over many other countries as well. But the bottom line here is, if we really want to hurt the Illuminists in Europe and worldwide for that matter, what we've got to do is get Greece to default on their debt, leave the euro, go back to the drachma, and clean up their act. Like, cut governmental expenses 30%, make the rich pay their taxes, and don't increase taxes, lower them.
Because as Kennedy knows, they cut taxes by 50% and tax receipts double. Just like California's raised taxes and was in the LA Times a few weeks ago. Oh, our money tax receipts went down when we raised taxes. They want to drive us into bankruptcy.
That's right. And so that was the advice I gave them. And I told them, if Greece does that, the other four PIIGS, known as PIGS, which are Ireland, Spain, Italy, and Portugal, they'll do the same thing. And can you imagine the disruption that's going to cause? All the banks who are holding the bonds are going to go under. We're talking Deutsche Bank, Hypo Bank, and the governments are going to, you know, suffer grievously who are holding bonds as well in those countries, like Germany and France and the Netherlands and Austria and Belgium. And so the disruption will be enormous. And I hope they go ahead and do it, and I hope everybody in Greece watches the program, because there's nobody out there saying what you and I are saying, but a handful of us. And reflecting back to what you were talking about earlier, about us affecting people in the way they think and telling them what's outside that box, Alex, this is spreading all over the world, and you know that, but I had to say it. Because we're really affecting people in foreign countries.
Oh, I know. I mean, I can get off a fishing boat in Honduras, and people in bare feet are running up saying, Alex Jones, Alex Jones. I mean, it's the same thing with all the Patriot leaders. It's so amazing. That's why there's a giant government demonization campaign of myself, yourself, and others, and they have COINTELPRO posing as patriots that attack us 24/7. That's the certification that our work is so important. I mean, look at the fruits of what we've done. Look at what we cover. We're just calling for liberty and freedom and the Republic and the Second Amendment and private property. Is that bad? We'll be back. Just like the Pied Piper, let rats loose. He created the crisis to offer the solution, and he turned the townspeople into zombies. Just like BP let the oil loose into the Gulf of Mexico. Just like the CIA created Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda. It is a symphony of destruction. We're a bunch of robots watching television. Our metal brain corrodes.
You try to take us
before the head explodes.
Before the head explodes.
Just like the Pied Piper, explodes. Let rats loose. It's staged crises, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Chapman is our guest. Balance of the hour, big news blitz. Coming up on The Economy with Bob. But Bob, going back to you, we've got Mr. Veach, who's been a frequent guest here, grassroots journalist from Scotland. He went to G20, and he's in the Ottawa Citizen today. And he was very polite. The police on the street wanted his ID. It says within 5 miles of anywhere downtown. And he said, I don't have to give that to you. And so they arrested him. And look what that fleshed out. Secret law lets police arrest for failing to show ID near summit. That's martial law. And they talk about this being a form of martial law in the article. And then separately, first it was going to be 500, then 600, and now $1.2 billion for a three-day G20 G8 summit. So when the real owners of America and Canada and the world, the bankers that, you know, the Madoff, Ken Lay types that create the derivatives fraud, who are taking over islands, literal private pension fund raiders are in the news in this London Guardian article, with money they made off selling derivatives to Greece. Now Greece is selling them their own 600 islands to be private islands of the bankers. It actually says that in The Guardian as if it's a good thing. And then $1+ billion for 3 days of security for these banking parasites to come into town. And, of course, it turns out their companies have subsidiaries that are these private security firms. And in Pennsylvania, at Pittsburgh last year, they allowed G20 private security, they admitted this, to snatch and grab citizens and put them in cars and drive them away God knows where. I mean, this banking elite is a pack of scum. What's your take on that, Bob?
Exactly the same as yours, and they're going to continue to be more aggressive as time goes on because there's more and more people from different walks of life who are protesting the different things because they're finding out through talk radio as well as the internet. And the more they do it, the more people are going to come out. It's just like if you watch the movie The Patriot, which I'm sure you did, and one of the British officers would continue to indiscriminately murder and burn down homes of people who were favorable to the revolutionaries during the Revolutionary War. And every time they did it, it got worse because the first thing they did is, in combat was to attack and kill all the officers that possible. And so the same thing is going to happen in America and any other country that continues to do that sort of thing. And they're looking for trouble, and eventually they'll get it, unfortunately, because as time goes on, unemployment's going to grow throughout the world, and things are going to become much more difficult, and people are going to become more desperate. And so those things are going to snap back on their face. But I'm glad that the gentleman confronted the police and said to them, you can't do that. And
by the way, he's on next hour. Go ahead, Bob.
That's terrific. Last time he was on ahead of me. But anyway, that's great. And I really enunciated and spoke quite a bit this morning in Greece on this business of the sale of assets. It's not only the islands. They're after things like water supply, electricity, any kind of public utility.
A classic IMF World Bank robbery. Stay there, Bob. Long segment coming up. Let's get into the economy, finish up with what's happening in Greece, and then get into some other issues. But understand, folks, $1.2 billion and growing for 3 days of security, and they're arresting Canadians and others and Brits and Scotsmen for no reason under a secret law. That is bona fide authoritarian tyranny.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and racing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Bob Chapman's our guest. He was trying to get into the situation in Greece. For those that don't know, in 2002, thousands of pages of IMF and World Bank documents got leaked. And in there, it was their own documents stating what they do. And they admitted that it was their documents. And it's what we already understood them to be doing. But here was the actual red-handed confession letters. And they go in, they pay off politicians, they create big social welfare systems, they advertise it to the media that the public deserves all this to get them dependent, to grow the size of the state so the public's domesticated and dependent, like a chicken that lives in a chicken farm inside a cage, not a wild chicken running around outside enjoying itself, sleeping in a tree. You're now a slave. And then they come in and bankrupt the economy in waves. And then they seize the water. They seize the power. Then they jack up the prices and put carbon taxes on it. That's the new layer to this. And so the entire infrastructure of Greece, and they're a one-crop economy, that being tourism, that's now being seized. But what was so incredible about this was reading in the London Guardian story that I covered during the first hour today, this report right here, it said that instead of going to the IMF and World Bank, and the article's written like it's a good thing, they're going right to billionaire hedge fund leaders. Sir Richard Branson, billionaire Barclay Brothers, Aristotle, they mention all these other elitist-owned islands, so it's normal that these other elite families want this. And so it says that all these big owners of brokerage firms that sold the derivatives that destroyed Greece, now the country's forced to go to them to sell them islands that were for tourists and to now make it their own private islands. I mean, this is a new level where the very criminals that carried out the operations to implode the economy now get the land itself. I mean, soon it'll be like it's your wife. You've got to deliver your wife if they want them to the banker. Go ahead, Bob Chapman.
Well, I think you pretty well capsulized it. I think the only thing you left out is that not only on all of the utilities and things that people use in the country, which they go into, the IMF, they never repair anything. It all breaks down, and then the people in the country get very disturbed because, you know, the water costs three times what it used to, like in Bolivia, and people can't afford it anymore, and the whole system isn't even working. And they just suck every bit of profit they can out of it and leave it to fall apart.
And then sit around bragging and writing books about how we're scum and how they want to save the earth by killing us.
That's for sure, and they love telling us about it in their publications.
You know, going back to this, though, Bob, I mean, this needs to be investigated. $1.2 billion for 3 days of security for the heads of the central government banks and private banks to show up and talk about how they're going to rape us next. I mean, this is definitely a payoff as well. I mean, this is, and then secret laws that they can arrest you for no reason in Canada now. I mean, I noticed a long time ago that Canada is like Nazi Germany, but the Canadians don't know it.
You're absolutely right. I lived up there, and I've been there many, many times, although I haven't been up there for about 8 years. But it was oppressive, and it's very expensive to live there. I thought it was about 30% more expensive than Los Angeles, which is certainly not an inexpensive city. And so I think they've got their hands full because long, long ago, both major parties sold out, and you have the same kind of voluminous group of people that are running the country, that type is running many other countries.
Well, it certainly is. On other issues, I'm going to be covering this at the start of the next hour in detail. This really is our top story today. Oil industry insider and CFR member predicts Gulf evacuation. This is an Infowars.com Kurt Nemo article, but Matthew Simmons, founder and chairman emeritus of Simmons and Company International, who's also a CFR member, told the Washington Post, and they also have a major meteorologist telling the Baltimore Sun, that it looks like these tropical storms and hurricanes that are now starting are going to blow the oil in the next few weeks or months, depending on the breaks, into the Gulf Coast, and that the oil... There's so many, bordering on 100 million gallons. It was 60-something million a few weeks ago out there. That's all going to blow in and back up in the rivers and streams, and that it's off-gassing all these toxins. And now I do see the EPA saying limited areas may have to be evacuated. But he's saying, quote, what you're going to have to evacuate the Gulf states. Can you imagine evacuating 20 million people? This story is 80 times worse than I thought. And then we separately have methane in Gulf astonishingly high, U.S. scientist says. Now, that's Reuters. And so they're talking about it blowing in land and just causing hell on earth. So then you look at the evidence of this being staged by BP, which is mounting. What's your take on that, Bob?
Well, I think if they can't make this evacuation along the coastline of that whole periphery, I think what they'll do is use CIA planes to drop something that's going to make these people pretty ill. And I think they want to clear that area and do a job on it. And I think that might be a reflection of what they were really up to when I think they directed that hurricane into New Orleans several years ago.
Well, we had meteorologists on how it just sat there and waited and didn't had two eyes and didn't behave like other ones. And I've had the father of weather weapons, Ben Livingston, on. That's even in Reuters, AP, Fox News, that they had certified the creation of hurricanes, the steering of hurricanes, the killing of hurricanes, the weakening of hurricanes, whatever they wanted. By 1967, they were doing it in 1960, 62, but by 67, it was certified by the Naval Weapons Laboratory and Stanford Research Institute that they had total control of the weather in limited areas.
And that's true. And they started the program the same year the Russians did in 1956. And the reason I know that is that we used to intercept that stuff.
Well, that's actually what Ben Livingston said, and we could only interview him. It was declassified, you know, 5 years ago. It wasn't in the news. I saw the declassification. It was sent to me online, a link to the National Archives. And after we interviewed, and he's really a famous guy, but never talk about it. He's the guy that first flew into typhoons in the late 40s, you know, which, of course, are hurricanes, but in the Pacific, so they go up to 250 miles an hour, not just 200. He was the first guy. He was the guy that led squadrons in Vietnam. I mean, leading squadrons. And he'd, of course, been a pilot in World War II. And this is the real deal, folks. Talk about like a Chuck Yeager type. He'd been a fighter pilot in World War II, then a meteorologist once the Navy put him through that. Then he led squadrons for, 5 years on hundreds and hundreds of missions, creating storms over Vietnam, flooding them. Then he certified all the weapons systems. Just amazing individual.
Well, you know, it's interesting that he did all that. And, you know, one step further, if you remember back during that time of Vietnam and the war, all they had to do was bomb the dikes in North Vietnam, and the war would have been over with.
But
it was as simple as that. In the north, they had dikes, and they held back the water. And all you had to do was go in and bomb them, and it would have flooded Haiphong.
Great point. We're going to go to anti-federalist Sharky, George, Brian, Helga, and others here in just a moment. Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com is our guest. But I wanted to go to this Washington Post article today. Now, Ron Paul's covered it. You've covered it ad nauseum. Judge Napolitano here on this show. You know, not just Alex Jones's opinion. I've read the bill, or to be accurate, scanned over it. It's very long. Haven't read the whole thing, but it says, and the Texas Banking Association president did 2 months ago, and they had a big article that was published all over Texas where they said this is the same big banks, this is Texas Banking Association, that created the derivatives, you know, the big six, and they're going to take over your healthy local state banks, and this is a consolidation, and they control the regulators. Well, here's the Washington Post. A new Consumer Protection Bureau housed in the Federal Reserve, the very group that's engineered this, would have independent funding, an independent leader, and near total anonymity and autonomy to write and enforce rules. The government would have broad new powers to seize and wind down large financial firms, that's healthy firms, and to oversee the $600 trillion, now they admit $600 trillion, wow, that's the first time I've seen that, derivatives market. In addition, a council of regulators headed by the Treasury secretary would monitor the financial landscape for potential seismic risk. And as Napolitano said, from a hot dog stand up to, you know, your local bank, this is a financial dictatorship, the same austerity rules and power they just gave them over in Greece to rob everyone. Bob Chapman, this is unbelievable that they would even admit this in the Washington Post, $600 trillion.
We talked about it here 2 months ago. We knew it was coming. They're going to take over the SEC and the CFTC and the FDIC. It's a financial dictatorship, no question. And how do you solve that? Well, you wait until it comes unglued, then you point the finger, and then you bring in law and order and try these people.
But we won't do that. We'll just worship the bankers and thank them for everything. And again, I always call them bankers. They're not bankers. The people down the street that loan you money, that's part of the free market, it's good. You know, they're good, bad, and ugly. It's a variant, but local banks are good on average. And they're being honest about what's happening. But these mega six banks, they're not bankers. They create derivative fraud, just like Bernie Madoff, the founder of NASDAQ. I mean, you know, he's one of them. He's one of their icons, and they sell it to the world, and then when they implode it, they get control of your life, and it's all for nothing. It's literally a parlor trick. I mean, it's like somebody stands up on a mountaintop and says, I'm God, give me the world, I have a checkbook, here's you know, a $600 trillion, and the world says, you are our God, you made it up. I mean, it's just so incredible, Bob.
It certainly is, and, you know, the public just doesn't know, and I'm talking about people with college educations who just never simply studied this. They don't know unless they listen to us, where we simply outline exactly what these people are up to and how they're breaking not only the laws of the country, but the moral laws as well.
Well, I couldn't say it better than you, Bob. And it's all coming to a head. And the system now, as we talked about 5 weeks ago, Brzezinski said, look, the world's awake to our new world order. We're in trouble. And so they're just going for broke. But I really more every day realize if we just stand up, speak out, keep moving forward, we're going to beat these people in the end. Time is on our side.
Well, I agree. The longer it takes, the more people we're going to inform. And that's really important. And the people we want to inform more than any other are the people between 40 and 65 who don't know what we know. And these people have a great stake in the country. They vote, usually. And it's very important that they understand the truth, what we're telling them. And they're all going to eventually act like we are. And we'll stop this. It's going to be very, very painful. We'll probably have another war. Probably millions of people are going to get killed. It's hard to say that out of hand. But that's what these people have planned for us. You know, have no mistake. This is where this is headed.
I want to go to calls, Bob, but I really want that to sink in, what you just said. For people that have children, people that have families, I mean, they're openly on the news saying they're trying to pass legislation where any citizens they want, for any reason, non-terror related as well, see, first it's for terror and then it's for everybody, can be secretly arrested and tortured. I mean, that is the most hardcore baseline tyranny there is. That's the royal flush. The end of posse comitatus, the end of habeas corpus, the end of everything. I mean, this is the open takeover of the internet, the open takeover of your local banks, the open takeover and federalization of your police. Canada's falling to tyranny with secret arrest, you know, mainstream news, secret law, let's police arrest for no reason. I mean, you know, that's, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't a drill. And I don't think people, I mean, take the Gulf situation, whether this oil is going to come into shore and is going to be deadly or not. The CFR and the Washington Post is now putting up trial balloons about total martial law and 20 to 40 million people being forced to evacuate. They're now actually starting to put this out there. I mean, they're hitting us from all sides, and all the evidence points towards this BP thing being staged. I mean, I wish that wasn't true, but we're not going to get out of this with wishful thinking. Okay, folks, we're going to have to really face how evil our enemy is and how they've hijacked our government, how they wrap themselves in the flag, how they brainwash the police, and the police better choose sides. I mean, you better look in the mirror, police. I mean, is that America? Secret arrest of whoever you want? Torture? Is America foreign banks telling Congress they won't say where the trillions went? Foreign offshore banks being able to shut down whatever financial institutions they want? I mean, is that really what you in history want to sign on to? All you care about is your beer, going out and partying after you get off the government bureaucrats, judges, media people, all of you, everybody, all of you that passively go along with this, you know, whether you're a soccer mom or a doctor or a lawyer or a professor or a yuppie, you better get up off your hind ends and speak up now. And don't tell me, oh, you don't know if this stuff's true. Don't punt. Don't psychologically, you know, say, oh, well, who knows if that's true. You know it's true. You better be counted now. You better choose sides and stand up now. You're only alive once. We're at a crossroads here, folks. We're going to win this thing one way or the other. But the more you stand up now, the better we're going to be here. I mean, we could actually have the globalists back off and then try to creep back later. And whether that be a less decisive victory, I'd rather have it that way for now. Bob Chapman.
I agree completely. Anything that will avoid violence. And, you know, you and I get blasphemed all the time for saying, well, all we want is violence. And that's the last thing we want. That's why I tell people, kick them all out of office in November, and maybe we get a shot at turning this thing around. It's at least it's a step in the right direction. And, of course, you guys, all of you out there, you got to help us.
Absolutely. Bob Chapman, we're going to come back for this segment the next and take phone calls with Bob Chapman. Again, for everybody that's patiently holding, we're going to come to you after this break. The websites are InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Don't forget we have the online video bookstore at InfoWars.com, and all of my films, my book, Paul Watson's book, the live simulcast of this radio show is archived there, a higher quality podcast for PrisonPlanet.tv members. And I want to thank all the PrisonPlanet.tv members because you are supporting our entire media operation, the bandwidth, the IT, just everything with your PrisonPlanet.tv membership. Plus, you get that arsenal of information that you can download to disk and give to everyone you know. Have you woken somebody up today? Have you reached out to somebody today? The clock's ticking. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I say I shot the sheriff, but I swear it was in self-defense.
I saw Sheriff John Brown.
All of a sudden, I saw Sheriff John Brown.
He was coming with a gun to shoot me down. So what did I do? I defended myself. I guess that makes you a terrorist. Helga, listening in Austin, Texas, on 90.1 FM. Helga, you are on the air. Welcome to the airwaves.
Hi, Alex. I hope you know that you are always in my heart.
Yes, I recognize your voice. You'd moved to Germany. Are you coming back and visiting?
Every year I'm here right now visiting. And I have to say thanks to Bob, because otherwise I couldn't afford it.
Oh, really?
Oh, Bob gave you some good advice.
Bob gave me some very good advice, which I followed. I had a little, it was a little scary, but I did, and I'm really glad I did. So, Alex, I just wish we would have, every country would have a steam engine like you.
Well, I'm pretty obnoxious, but I get the job done.
I don't think you're obnoxious.
Well, you're a sweetheart.
I don't think so at all.
Helga, what's on your mind?
Actually, just before I left, they even told that the German government has to send their household budget to the IMF to be approved. Tabli didn't talk about, and I don't know if anybody else has talked about, but that's the last thing I heard before I left 3 weeks ago. And, Germany is only half as much in debt as Greece. So, but the IMF has been there a long time. Everything is being privatized. All the German cities, all the communities are bankrupt.
Well, Germany never got out from underneath the Marshall Plan. It's been a corporate colony since then, and now all of us go under this corporate Borg. Bob, had you heard about what Helga's mentioning?
No, I haven't. And but I can imagine it. What surprises me is Helga says that the local cities and towns and counties are having financial problems as well. And that to me is surprising.
Totally bankrupt. My city where I was born, even the graveyard is privatized. And
is that right?
On top of it, they lost billions on Lehman Brothers. I mean, they are, it's just absolutely, and I had been fighting there a whole year against privatization of the last things, which was the buses. And people just don't know about the IMF. I mean, they have been working behind the curtains for a long time.
Yeah, privatization is not privatization, to boil it down for new viewers and listeners. It is private corporations becoming government and charging you a lot more money for it and stealing the infrastructure that the people paid for.
Right. And they do no repair. And if it's totally broken, I guess they're going to give it back to the people again. Something like it. I don't know. Maybe not. Just everything falls apart.
What was that, Bob?
Maybe the people will take it back.
I mean, so far, every city in Germany is broke. Everything. There are also no jobs around. And, we have this government handout which makes everybody paralyzed.
And that's why you're broke. That's why Helga, it's so good hearing from you. I've seen Helga over the years out at events and down at the TV studio, and she's just a great lady. And I got your call a few weeks ago, Helga, and then the number was around here somewhere, and I meant to call you back to see what it was going on. But it's good to hear your voice and call in more often, Helga. You're awesome. We'll be back in 1 minute with Bob Chapman with more of your phone calls, and I'm going to get into what's happening in the Gulf as well. Stay with us. We are already into hour number four on this Friday edition. Bob Chapman's our guest. For about 10 minutes, we've got Mr. Veach, who was arrested and made national news headlines in Canada for no reason. Headlines, secret lawless police arrest for failing to show ID near Summit or any other reason. We're going to also get into what's happening in the Gulf. And we have a lot of really amazing reports, even the Washington Post now talking about evacuating 20 million people. If a hurricane or tropical storm blows that oil in, we're taking your calls right now for Bob Chapman. He joins us every Friday. Of course, his website's theinternationalforecaster.com. Amazing info there. And we, of course, have Infowars.com. Anti-Federalist, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, guys, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I want to my questions for Bob. Bob, what? Why gold? And if the world were to come into Armageddon, okay, I know that gold's been traded for centuries and been used for economies, but how is it going to do me any good if the world really were to go into Armageddon, and how can I possibly afford a substantial amount to actually make a difference in my own life? And also, if you could, please explain HDR 192 and how the Constitution says no state shall accept anything other than gold and silver as tender in payment of debt, and how now we cannot pay for anything because we have no money.
Okay, Anti-Federalist, I want to make some comments, but first, Bob.
Well, I think that as far as the HD or whatever the name of the bill was is concerned, you know, that's been on the books for a long time, and government just ignores it. They just very simply do what they want to do. And as far as Armageddon is concerned, if Armageddon comes, nobody's going to have anything, the way I interpret it. And so if you're worried about that, it's more important you have food and water and a way to filter your water.
Well, we haven't talked about gold yet today, and gold is just one of the things. Firearms, food, water, friends, skills, having a plan. So an emergency happens, a meteorite, nuclear war, World War III, evacuations, that you're not dependent on government, because look at Katrina and every other disaster. They can't and won't help you, Bob.
That's right.
Let me briefly comment. What I really heard there, and we all give into this, is kind of this psychological attitude of the world's going to hell, so I might as well go drink a bunch of beer and eat cheese enchiladas and smoke cigarettes. And I've done that before in my life. The government's threatening to kill me, and this will never, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to go eat a bunch of enchiladas and drink eight Dos Equis. You can't have that attitude, you know. The end of the world could be next month. I don't think it is, but let's say it was. Do the right thing now. Live your life. Is gold a silver bullet? Is gold the pantheon to save the whole world? No, it's just better than fiat money. It's better than fiat stocks and bonds and derivatives and things that are questionable and that can be revoked or devalued with a stroke of a pen or in the twinkling of an eye or over time with gradual inflation and devaluation of currency. And so, you know, there's always this cop-out that you see in the Christian church. Well, the end of the world's coming, so I'm not going to go out and warn my neighbors about the takeover and the microchips and the police state and the fluoride in the water. And I've been hearing that for 15, 16 years since I've been active. I know you've been hearing it for 50, Bob. When we come back, I want you to briefly speak to it. But this caller, you know, what he said pretty much encompasses it all. Of course, you could die in a car wreck today and have a safety deposit box full of gold and never use it. You could die in a car wreck and not use $10 million in stocks and bonds people may hypothetically have out there. I mean, what does that mean? Or the government in 1933 under War Powers Act, confiscated gold. Yeah, my grandmother remembers her father not turning his in Dallas. And my grandfather remembered his dad, who owned a car dealership, not turning it in. And people just buried it. That's the old, you know, the old mason jar thing. And they did well a year later after the gold confiscation when the government doubled the price because they, the bankers, had hoarded it. So, I mean, just because the government might take your house, don't have a house, the government might take your kids, never have kids, the government, you know, if you get your wife pregnant, the baby might have a medical problem, so let's not have a baby. Oh, I might have a wreck on the highway, so I won't drive my car. That's called turning into a recluse. That's called turning into a paranoid. We are taking control of our world. We are bold. We are not in fear.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we're going to let Bob Chapman go in a moment, and I'll continue to get to your calls after I am able to go through what's happening with the Gulf of Mexico, some really serious big developments on that front. But I hadn't talked about gold and the economy with Bob this week, but I'm glad the caller brought it up. Gold was $260-something an ounce 7 years ago. It's $1,254.20, all-time high in Europe, all-time high here. $10.80 up today, and this is in the dead time for metals, usually in the summer. These banks are engaged in the orderly takedown of every sovereign nation and every currency. It's just another phase of shearing us, looting us. Bob Chapman, again, the caller was saying, if the world's about to end, why should we want to be financially prepared? I mean, that sounds like, why shouldn't I just jump off a cliff? Well, I don't think anybody should commit suicide out there. I mean, if people got the attitude it's the end of the world, I mean, that's crazy. It's the end of the world if we keep being helpless and stop taking action. But people are taking action, and they are getting food and water and trying to become more self-sufficient and planting gardens and not watching as much television and not drinking fluoridated water. I mean, all of that is just about getting healthier. And we've had it good so long, we're standing up against tyranny so we don't lose it. Bob Chapman.
Well, that's exactly right. And that kind of attitude ends up in, why don't you just, as you said, jump off a cliff. So you can't answer those questions because they're unanswerable. We know what to do. We've seen other societies over the centuries, what they've done. And so you put your food away, dehydrated and freeze-dried, you get a filter, and you're able to defend your family. And then if you got money left over, then you give Midas a call and get yourself some gold and silver coins. And in that process, get yourself a free 1 year subscription to the International Forecaster. That's all you have to do is call in and ask. You buy one coin and you're off and running.
And
it's
speaking,
the best deal I ever heard of.
And speaking of Midas, Ted Anderson is out in the field today doing research. But he does that all over the country and even goes to Europe. Ted had a lot of gold and silver secured before gold went up the $50+ it has in the last few weeks. I just called him randomly to get him on air because I know he's out of town. I don't even know if he's been able to keep the lower prices he had, but it's been slowly inching up. But these are deals that have not been lasting, but he has got a lot of coins that nobody else can even get a hold of because he's been in business for over 30 years. Ted Anderson, briefly, tell people about today's Midas Resources offer and the free International Forecaster offer with a fifth of an ounce franc.
Well, one of the things that I am holding is that franc coin. It's at 265 right now. Even my internet prices have gone up over 270. I know I have competition out there that haven't priced over 300. So, yeah, that's a good buy. I mean, especially if you consider the fact that you get a full year of Bob Chapman's International Forecaster newsletter, you're getting the information that really you need to have in order to make sound investment decisions. But you're also getting a piece of gold that quite literally can be traded back into currency if you want to recover the money that you invested anytime in the future you want to. You just pick up the phone and call us or go to any gold dealer across the United States for that matter. That's how liquid this stuff is. I am still also holding the silver Walking Liberty half down at $9.75. Now, silver today jumped up over $19 an ounce, seeing $19.17. And, of course, gold's peak today was $1,259.50. And presently, right now in the marketplace, is trading at $1,255.40. Alex, I still have those buffaloes. Had a lot of people purchase the quantities that I have, but I still have some left. And that coin is typically, you know, you can't even get it. I mean, I wasn't able to sell them most of the time all of last year. And the gold market is seeing peaks that it's never seen before in the summertime, which is also unheard of. And like you said earlier, this is the summer the fall is yet to come, and that seasonably is when gold usually hits its peaks. So just, you know, if we have just the, you know, a general run like we usually do, we'll probably see that $1,300, $1,400, perhaps even $1,500 an ounce coming into the fall. Bob Chapman, I'm sure, has more to say about that. But, yeah, the Buffalo, the even the U.S. Eagle, the bags of junk silver, there's so many things they can be getting involved with here in the gold and silver market, you know, and be able to trade it privately. I just can't say enough for it. I mean, like Bob said, if you have your guns, your ammunition, your food, you're prepared for a problem in the future. Financially, you have to get your house in order, too. And that's why it's very important to take advantage of this international forecaster and franc offer. And the franc coin is a fifth of an ounce of gold. It's been trading throughout Europe for hundreds of years. People understand what that coin is. It doesn't matter what kind of economic future we have, whether even if we have great economic times coming, nothing's still going to hold value because gold has held value for over 6,000 years. I mean, I don't know how you can go wrong with that.
Well, absolutely, Ted Anderson, and we need to give people the toll-free number to call and take advantage of this, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237, and the brokers will be there throughout the weekend. If you call and they're out to lunch or something, leave your name and number, and they'll call you right back. You can get some good deals at minusresources.com. As well, but the special deals are for telephone calls only. Tell them Alex Jones sent you. It's part of the Alex Jones, Ted Anderson radio special to be able to take advantage of this. This really is a super deal. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Bob Chapman, we'll talk to you again coming up next Friday, Lord willing. And Ted Anderson, thank you for spending time with us.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me up, Alex.
You bet.
Well, thank you. Thank you all for listening. Bye-bye.
Great job, Bob Chapman. Always good to hear your analysis and your good attitude as well about the type of tyranny that we are facing as a society. Now, in the 45 minutes that we have left here, we're going to go to Canada and talk to a gentleman who's in the Ottawa Citizen today who was arrested when the police came over and wanted to interrogate him because he wouldn't answer their questions. And now, just like Communist China, is an arrestable offense to not answer their questions. And it says secret law lets police arrest for failing to show ID near summit. And this has got Canadian Civil Liberties Association saying this is extremely concerned and authoritarian. Well, I mean, separately, we've got bills in Congress to secretly arrest citizens and let us disappear into a black hole for any reason the government wishes, no judge, no jury. I mean, this is as massive a tyranny as you can imagine. So we'll be covering that and taking your phone calls, but we will cover what's happening at the G20 and the G8 meeting. $1.2 billion is what it's costing for 3 days. I mean, this is the bankers. And, of course, we'll pay interest to the bankers on the money we use to pay for this. And this is also being contributed to by the U.S. government. The share that Canada's paying is $1.2 billion. Yes, that's more than the entire budget of the city of Austin, close to the budget of a city like Dallas, in 3 days in a Canadian city, and is as big as that Canadian city's budget. This is the out-of-control looting and robbery that is going on to guard the bankers that are robbing us. So they just get it coming and going. Now, my friends, we have covered in the last 60-plus days what has happened in the Gulf since April 20th, 2010. We've covered the fact that all these big brokerage firms and now Vanguard that Obama is invested in, they dumped their stock right before, BP 44%, the Goldman Sachs dumped 44% of that. The BP CEO dumped more than a third of his stock the week before. We know about the recovery efforts being blocked. We know all of this is going on. And we know that Obama's now trying to pass a carbon tax in the name of fixing this. But as Jesse Ventura agreed with me a few hours ago here live on the show, what does a tax have to do with cleaning up the Gulf? Now, this latest information is our top story today, and I'll show folks a document cam shot of this if they're watching on prisonplanet.tv. Oil industry insider and CFR member predicts Gulf evacuation. And it says, buried in an article on the Gulf of Mexico scenario and predictions in the Washington Post, quotes Matthew Simons, founder and chairman emeritus of Simons and Company International. In response to a tropical storm brewing in the Caribbean, Simons says, quote, we're going to have to evacuate the Gulf states. Can you imagine evacuating 20 million people? This story is 80 times worse than I had thought. And then it continues here in the article. The National Hurricane Center went on to say 40% chance or a mid-level chance that this will turn into a tropical storm. This current storm will drive oil out of the Gulf. The vast majority of it is still out in the ocean, into land, and it's very toxic crude oil with record levels of all these toxic heavy metals and methane and benzene that is off-gassing. You know about the medical workers getting sick, people 5 miles in Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama getting sick, the oil and tar hitting the beaches, the Obama administration and BP blocking the Coast Guard, blocking the states, blocking everybody from cleaning it up. That's back in the news today, just blocking it everywhere to make it as bad as they can. Then all the evidence this was an inside job. It just goes from bad to worse. But I remember a month ago seeing articles saying, you know, the troops are going to be deployed, 40 million are going to be driven out. And I said, or troops had been deployed and it had already begun. So I called those towns and found out there wasn't evacuations going on. But now, a lot of times those are based on rumors that have a basis in fact. Now we're starting to see the EPA say, you know, we may have to evacuate certain areas when this real oil comes in on shore and backs up in the rivers and estuaries. And you've got the feds 10 miles into the estuaries in Louisiana and Mississippi saying no fishing, no boating. So the feds are really taking over and blocking any aid. And if this toxic oil, some estimates are 50 million, some are above 100 million gallons, does get blown in, because the currents are just going to take it around Florida and out the Atlantic, and that's a big problem, and up the East Coast, but most of it stays out to sea. Just the leading edge hits land, just a very small percentage. But with hurricanes and tropical storms, that blows the water in to the Gulf, into the Gulf states. I mean, this could be a disaster of biblical proportions. All right, there's a couple different ways to look at this. There's a couple different ways that we can perceive this, or maybe more than a couple. I mean, when we post this video up at PrisonPlanet.tv, you're welcome in the PrisonPlanet.com forum to go in there and give us your view on it. But you have the CFR member putting out the party line. It's the CFR that writes the amnesty plans, the CFR that writes the war plans, the CFR that creates the policy for the private corporate structure, and then it's handed off to the politicians, as Hillary Clinton has admitted in speeches. She says, I love coming to the CFR so you can tell me what to do. And she was serious. That was just a few months ago. And so when you've got a CFR member in the big CIA publication, Washington Post, promoting the idea of 20 million being forced to evacuate out of Florida, Texas, Louisiana, Mexico. Because, yeah, the oil spill hasn't hit Texas because it happened off the coast of Louisiana, and the currents are taking it east and then southeast and then north up the East Coast. That's the trek. That's the track. That's what they predicted 60-plus days ago when it first happened on April 20th, and that is indeed where the currents have gone. But once the tropical storms start, and then the hurricanes do a south to north track, and they vary to the west or the east, but it's always north. And so it's going to push that oil into Texas, Mexico, Cuba, just in all different directions, really stirring it up. And it's so toxic, and it's so much of it. You know, they first lied about it and said it was a few million barrels, and you know, now they're saying it's even more. They're talking about it being 50 million gallons, 100 million gallons, 150 million gallons. No one knows. But you can see it in the NASA satellites all over the Gulf now, and now starting to go out into the wider Atlantic Ocean, the Central Atlantic. So you have the Washington Post promoting the idea now as a trial balloon of martial law, of mass evacuation. You have the EPA coming out a week and a half ago saying we may have to evacuate certain Gulf areas. You now have BP, though, telling their employees and their contractors don't wear masks so that they can then deny that there's any toxic off-gassing going on. God only knows, ladies and gentlemen, this could break the country if they overreact and do make 20, 30, 40 million people evacuate and then send in Halliburton and all these corrupt companies to supposedly clean up the oil. I mean, if Halliburton and no-bid contracts was caught charging $15 million for a $400 blue tarp, no, that's $15 million for a $400 tarp. I mean, maybe they could charge another $500 to put the tarp up. Okay, $1,900, something like that? No, $15 million for a tarp. Can you imagine what it'll cost to have Halliburton and others clean this up? See, that's why they won't let citizens do it. It's why they won't let the states do it. This is a federal mess with BP. They're going to give you a carbon tax to pay for the cleanup, and they're going to let their buddies like Halliburton and others clean it up, and you, the stinking slaves, aren't going to do it. You're not allowed to have a gun to protect yourself in your home. Professionals do that, though they have no liability to actually protect you. You're not allowed to have your own farm now under federal regulations. They're trying to shut down farms and ranches under animal ID, premises ID, making it harder and harder. Openly in Australia under carbon tax, over half the country's now off limits to farming that was already under farming. They just said no farming, period. Not carbon taxes, just no farming, period. That's national Australian news. The people throw out Rudd over it. They put a new lady in who pledges she's going to do it. So all of this is happening, and the CFR could be hyping this just to fearmonger, and they could use it as a pretext for martial law in the Gulf. They could also just be testing right now to see if they'll get away with it, or they really could know that these hundreds of millions of gallons of oil are going to be coming in and that it is toxic, which it is toxic to some extent, and that it is going to cause a major respiratory crisis and also a fire hazard. If they'll evacuate half of a major town because somebody was seen walking by their car with a gun, you know, they've trained us to be these ninnies that go into fetal positions, duck and cover whenever the government tells us. Well, then if that's the case, the sky's the limit. They may try to use this to declare an emergency. Obama may try to nationalize the oil companies. But when you hear nationalize, that means the mega oil companies will use this to shut down their competition. It's government that gives the oligopoly to BP in Alaska for 80% or more of the oil coming out of there, and most of it going to China. It's the government that only allows certain corporations to drill in the Gulf. So competition is a sin, according to the founder of the Rockefeller clan. They use government to shut down their competition. So we're going to be watching this very, very closely. But, I had said a month ago this looked like fear-mongering, but I wasn't sure. I didn't criticize those that were saying this was going to happen. I just said it looks a little extreme. More and more, though, it's being pushed in the mainstream media as something that's going to happen. And so the question is it real or is it a hoax? We'll be covering it here. I'm Alex Jones. This is the one, the only GCN Radio Network, GCNLive.com. Some of the headlines up at GCNLive.com. G20 activists arrested, denied entry into Canada. Kurt Nemo. Congressman Rohrabacher, almost all House Republicans think Iraq viewers, you can read this article up at OttawaCitizen.com, and for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, we'll put this document on screen for people. A secret law lets police arrest for failing to show ID near summit. Now, remember when the feds hired provocateurs? They kicked this off globally in 99. We have the footage in my film, Police State 2, The Takeover. Police admitting it. They hired thugs to attack police. The Delta Force ran the operation. That was in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer and the Seattle Times. This was admitted. To then clamp the city down and say no anti-WTO stickers allowed on cars, on lapels. We have police saying not in our city now. Secret emergency decree. This is government testing and getting everybody used to it. Well, we had martial law at Pittsburgh G20. We had police dogs bite old women coming out of grocery stores because there was no one allowed on the streets, day or night, selectively. Yeah, we went out and found college kids at the park playing frisbee golf and attacked them on video because we said no one allowed outside, no congregations, no one. We're the government. And when the G20 arrives, that's your real government. It's illegitimate as a $3 bill, but that's who runs things. And the Toronto Star reports, the CBC reports, it was $1 billion. Now it's $1.2. And another paper says they're now estimating today $1.5 billion. But at least $1.2 has already been spent on security for 20 delegates of the G20 and 8 delegates of the G8. Because the people are the enemy. And plus, you get to run up a bigger bill, and most of the big banks own the private security firms, and they admit when we showed U.S. Army and U.S. Army fatigues in a champagne police car at the G20, you've all seen that footage. When we played that video and the Drudge Report linked to it, we got a call here by G20 private security saying those are our officers in police and military uniforms, and we did take them to a secret facility, but it's not the military. Stop blaming them. And then they put a press release out as if that was better. Oh, we have secret goons in military National Guard uniforms grabbing peaceful activists and shoving them into cars. And it turned out that was a psyop. It was all fake to scare people watching television to never come to events. Oh, if you come, you get rubber bulleted. You get attacked. Secret law lets police arrest for failing to show ID near summit. And they cover Charlie Veach, a man arrested in downtown Toronto for failing to show police his ID. And that video is up on InfoWars and Prison Planet. We may pull that up. Head of Love Police. It's also on the Love Police website. Founder of Love Police arrested for not showing ID. But here it is in the news. Very polite, very nice to the police. And he said, no, I don't feel like I need to talk to you. I'm here on a city street. And they said, okay, we're taking you to jail. Also, when Luke Radowski tried to drive across at the beautiful Niagara Falls, man, that YouTube video he shot, you can see Niagara in the background. It's beautiful. And he and his other cohorts, they were not allowed to get in. Matt Lepasek and others that had a foy line with her, of who I don't know. I've never met her. But they're all there. They're peacefully trying to go across, and once they get there, to the border, they say, you're with We Are Change. No, you're basically terrorist. You can't come in. And then Homeland Security interrogated them on the way back. And so that's now happening with these international databases. Let's go to Charlie Veach, who's made international headlines by exposing the secret law. You, the slaves, can't know. I wonder what other secret laws there are. I mean, kind of like the directives where they take our blood in Canada, the U.S., England, and Europe proper without telling us, and now they admit they take our baby's blood for 38 years secretly. Or maybe how they have secret directives to kill us and take our organs when they want them that have now come out. Go ahead and of course, that's now admitted. That had been denied, that Israel and coalition forces and others were killing people and taking their organs. It's now admitted. But Mr. Veach, maybe there's other secret laws we don't know about. Isn't that the bedrock of freedom, to have secret laws?
Yeah, Alex, I've just come out of court about 2 hours ago where I was tried for the new law. I have it here in my official form. It's the Public Works Protection Act, Section 5.1, and it came into effect, so my lawyer said, the free lawyer appointed to me, on June the 2nd this year, especially for the G20, and it also extends to private security officers. If you're in an area covered by the Public Works Act, private security can now have you arrested if you don't give your details over to them.
This is a global stratagem, just like we saw at the G20 in Pittsburgh.
No, absolutely. And I just want to say as well, I've been dealing with police in America, in Holland, in Germany, in the UK, and I've never felt such vicious, fascist, thuggish, scumbag behavior as the G20.
What have you heard me say for years? I mean, Canada, they got me for 15 hours and literally just growled and cussed and said, I hate you. I want to put you in a Toronto prison. If I find one thing to put you in prison, you're going. And they were all demonic and these little black armored things with gray shirts on just giggling. And they've been caught in Canada hiring provocateurs to attack police so they can beat the hell out of Canadians. I mean, Canadians have an evil government and they need to wake up to it.
No, absolutely, Alex. The guy who arrested me had a little mustache on, a kind of marine haircut, big guy, Sergeant Reynolds, badge 3061. He took me in, he put the handcuffs on. He had me with the handcuffs behind my back for 5 hours.
Well, look at how their TSA kill people all the time, just beat them to death. You can't speak English and you're begging for help after 20-something hours in the terminal. They just beat you to death. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had the special anti-terror detective unit from the G20 Protection Force were interviewing me twice this morning. About 4 o'clock in the morning, saying, look, you're not really a filmmaker, are you, Charlie? we know why you're really in Canada. We have no record of your entry into Canada. You are really here to cause trouble. You are a violent anarchist. And unless you start giving us names of your anarchist friends, you're never going to get out of this cell. You're going to be in the cell for 6 days until your flight back to London, when we'll deport you.
So basically, make stuff up and admit you're a terrorist, or we're going to put you in jail.
Yeah, and they were just saying, look, you're lying. Unless you admit you're a violent anarchist.
Well, they work for a narcotics trafficking, child slave trafficking government. Canada is involved in every evil known to man.
Yeah. And you know that gentleman you had on the Star, the Toronto Star, the Dave Vasey? I was actually in the cage next to him. It was like something out of Guantanamo Bay. At the Toronto Film Studios, they've created these gigantic American football stadium-sized battery cages.
No, this is all drills. I mean, Jesse Ventura, I'm consulting for him on his film about FEMA camps, and I keep explaining it is the sports stadiums. They admit they can turn any town into a giant camp in hours, and all of this is a drill about private security goons grabbing you, putting a bag over your head. They've almost got the bill passed, and they'll just arrest whoever they want. The government is criminal in the U.S. and Canada and England. They want to put bags on our heads and take us away to be murdered on record. They are murdering criminals that work for banks that are robbing us. I'm sorry, go ahead. Folks, do you understand? It's real. It's real. Go ahead.
Now, I have to back up. Alex told the listeners it is very real. I felt the fascism going up my body. I got strip searched 4 times. And I was,
which is a humiliation pleasure for the pervs, just like they make you put your kids in a naked body scanner. It's about their religion of dominating us. We are entering hell. Go ahead.
Absolutely, Alex. They wouldn't even let me take the handcuffs off to urinate, to use the bathroom. And they were watching me. And I said, can I have a bit of privacy? They're like, no.
No. With Luke Radowski, they would strip him. And then laugh at all of them at the G20. And they said it was military with cops just like going, you filth. And they would just pull their pants down. And not that anybody had anything to be ashamed of, but they would just, ha, 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 we've got this country down. It's ours. Oh, God, we love Goldman Sachs. Rape them, Goldman. Rule them. Oh, God, let us destroy the American people. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I had this massive hangar, Alex. What really upset me the most was in Toronto, they have the normal police, but they also have the court service police. And they were about 20 to 40 years old. And they were walking past my cage, rattling the bar, saying, ha ha, are you going to fight the man now? Are you having fun in your cage now, big boy? Who's the big protester now? They were really enjoying humiliating me. And every 3 or 4 hours...
They want the women, they want the farms, they want the ranches, they want it all, and they're going to get it. And their bosses are there injecting them with steroids and giving them speed pills. And, yeah, show that rabble scum you own them. And the cops are, ah, ha, 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 ha. It's like pirates. Let's get them, boys. Ha, ha. Meanwhile, the Mexican troops shoot at them. They urinate on themselves and run. Ah, ah. You know, I want an old lady to pull over and beat up. Ah. I'm sorry. Listen, Charlie Veach, you know, I talk about tyranny. The stress of it makes me, you know, get a little nonsensical here, but recapping these mega cages, these Orwellian Guantanamo grids, describe this for us and run through what they did to you again.
Yeah, well, you enter in the back of a van through this big aircraft hangar entry point, and you get taken into this side big holding cage where they do the initial strip search. And then you go into this room where they've got these like porta cabin things with like every single room has a brand new CCTV camera and a microphone. So, and then the officer says, I need to read you out this sign, say you are now under video and audio surveillance. And then I got then strip searched again, taken to my holding cage.
Excuse me, they strip search you in front of video?
No, that was in private, the strip searching.
Okay.
Yeah, but then I got taken.
Yeah, they only strip search you and record it at the airport. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's right. So then I got taken into the massive cage next to the other people, and that's when they walked past and kept up the humiliation for as long as possible. And it was extremely cold. They had extremely powerful air conditioning units there. I was wearing shorts and sandals. They refused to give me blankets. For 5 hours, they refused to give me water.
Yeah, that's the Israelis pioneered that modern Chinese model of deprivation with the cold. Please continue.
Yeah, and I actually got to the point when I started screaming at the top of my lungs, I'm a human being and you're keeping me in a cage. I need to be let out of here. And only then, when I really started rattling the bars, did I get given a pullover jumper thing. But then it was
in the future, they'll just take you, shoot you in the head, and gut you and sell the organs and give the cops some money. I'm not kidding.
I really did feel that this was military police preparation for a future lockdown.
No, they want your organs. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just couldn't believe the facility I was taken into. It was like something out of the X-Files or something from a apocalyptic.
Describe it for us.
It was probably about the size. It was in the Toronto Film Studios. I don't know where about in town that is, but it's about the size of two American football pitches with a stadium. So immense size and just endless rows of strip lights and CCTV cameras above every single cage. And then the cages are like a full, you know, the cage goes across the top and there's microphones pointing down into every cell. They have a little toilet in the corner with cameras pointing at that as well. And then there's people walking past humiliating you every 5 minutes. So you don't really get a chance to do anything.
Well, I mean, the message is don't protest. Drink the fluoride water. I mean, it's like Humongous in Road Warrior. Just give us the gas. We spare your lives. That's all we want. Just walk away. Hold on. The Humongous is here to be magnanimous. We understand what you want, but you're not going to get away from here.
I mean, that's it. It's don't protest. Just let the banks rob everything. Just let us run everything, or we're going to SWAT team you. We're gonna put you in prisons. We're gonna hire provocateurs so we can attack you, as the Royal Mounted Police have been caught. I mean, this is the end. This is simultaneously every country they meet in. The G20 bankers use it as a model for the special security event, law enforcement, threat fusion center grid takeover. This is a red alert. Continue.
Yeah, the absolute reason they chose Toronto to host the G20 in is because they know they can transport in big buses thousands of people to these holding cells, these cages on the outskirts of town, and process them and strip search them. And I almost reached breaking point, Alex. I almost snapped psychologically because it really is utterly nightmarish.
And then they'll have you on video, and then they get to come in and beat you with billy clubs and restrain you, and then, oh, he died. Oh, you know, these sadists get to, ha, 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 I work for the bankers. Ha, 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 we're overturning all of the republics, all of the freedom. Ha, 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 ha. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Alex, I wish you were joking, but they seriously enjoyed the power over me. And when I was there psychologically breaking down, saying, I'm a human being, please let me out, all I could hear was laughter and shouts.
Now, I've heard it. I just lost his audio. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're back. Charlie, I've been there in Canada, but I didn't have it as bad as you, and I was very polite. And these guys were like sadists. I mean, their faces were, and then I'd be sitting there to the guys when they let me out of one of the cells being interrogated. I'd say, I guess we're going to be here for a long time and have to go back to the U.S., and one of them almost jumped the counter. And he said, you're trying to escape? I heard you. And then he'd smile like, I'm setting you up. Of course I'm evil. You don't understand. It's time for us criminals to rule. You don't understand how many of us there are and how we've gotten into every position. It's almost time, scum. I'm sorry. Finish your story.
Alex, I really do wish you were joking, but you're not. It is absolutely correct, everything you've just said. It is a repeat of Nazi Germany, except now they have a million times more powerful technology to treat us all like sheep. I experienced it for the best part of 24 hours firsthand, and it's really, really
sickening.
Well,
Congress is told they won't say where the trillions are. I mean, what do people think's going on here? This is real. They're openly saying they're going to shut the web down. They're openly saying they're going to secretly arrest us. Folks, I'm not joking around with people. Neither is Charlie Veach. Now the video, some of the video was on the web of you being arrested. You were very polite to their little lordships.
Yeah, to the little Adolf Hitler with his little Adolf Hitler mustache. He actually told me, you're 30 seconds away from getting yourself arrested, boy. So I said, hold on a second. Can I just reason with you like a human being? And then he handcuffed me.
No, they don't talk to Suboid. You're a blood bag. You're to supply blood to the state. Blood bags don't talk. They get in their matrix tube and they supply energy. Shut up, blood bag.
Yeah.
You think you blood bags have got any rights? We're here to teach you. You're blood bags for Goldman Sachs, period. Supply it. Supply it.
Alex, I just hope that you have advance warning when the actual roundups begin, because I don't think we're actually that far off from what I can see. So I do hope you get at least a couple of days warning to disappear.
Well, number one, the United States is armed. So what they want is, when they try to round people up, they'll call us violent. Anybody that doesn't say, oh, sure, Mr. Hitler, take my children, too. And then they'll get to run around and show funerals of people and cry and whine. Oh, in their little Nazi outfits. Oh, they're being mean to us. Goldman Sachs is good. But in England and Canada, where they're pretty much disarmed, you guys do have a bigger problem.
We have a massive problem. And right now in the UK, criminals and bad people have as much access to weapons as they want, and law-abiding citizens who might want to defend themselves against, for example, a fascist government takeover, are unable to do so. We are like lambs to the slaughter, and it's a very sad
thing. Well, this is no doubt, this is real, and I commend you. You've been released from the gulag. I want to get you back on next week for a full report in the aftermath of this, Charlie Veach. Give us the Love Police website.
Yeah, it's www.thelovepolice.eu or www.cveach.org.
And folks, it is absurdist. I mean, what's happening is ridiculous, but it's real. I mean, they've been caught this year and 2 years ago in Canada staging provocateur events in the news. The police have been caught when there's no violence, stirring it up because they want to shut down free speech. They don't want us pointing our fingers at the bankers and saying we don't want them robbing us. They want to just have the bankers come out in front of the news and say, we love you, we're going to raise taxes on you because it's cute and trendy for the earth. We're going to talk to George Butler, who's also in Toronto right now. When we come back in the final segment, Charlie Veach will be on with us next week from the Love Police. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com. This is real tyranny. Find a backbone and speak out against it. Blow the alarm now. When I hear about tyranny being carried out against innocent people, and I've experienced it myself at the hands of thugoids, goonoids, and I know history, I just go wild with anger. And they know what they're doing, how they're scientifically training everyone to accept high-tech slavery. We only got 5 minutes with him here at the end of the show, but I'm going to get him to pop back in at the end of the G20 G8 from Canada. George Butler, fellow Genesis talk show host of The Secret Truth. I want to bring him up to get a quick report. George, you've got the floor in the last 5 minutes. Tell us what you've witnessed there, joining us via video Skype from Toronto, Canada, where our banker owners are meeting.
Welcome, Alex, to the All Stream Center. We're sitting here with a lot of NGOs, World Vision, CARE Plan. There are a lot of humanitarianism people here, and we're broadcasting live right now. What's happening here is that there have been over 3,700 reporters registered through the International Media Center, and in this is called the Alternative Media Center, where we have approximately 300 people registered. And so what's going on here is that these people are trying to lobby from their own NGO perspectives, to get done.
Sure. What have you witnessed? What have you witnessed? What's going on up there? We see them saying a secret law to arrest people for no reason.
Yeah, there was a shakedown downtown Toronto yesterday. A hippie-looking van, he had a sort of a carry-all over the top of his whole van, and they were pulling stuff out of there and scattering it all across the street. There are police on every corner. There's four or five police on every corner. The three-meter barrier is almost impregnable.
How could this cost $1.2 billion, or basically the budget of the entire city every year?
Yes. They are giving everyone any service that they want to. They're providing free food for us. They're doing a tremendous job as being a good host. And also,
Wait, the organization you're meeting with or the city of Toronto?
The organization here is the. Do you see this on the screen now?
Yes.
This one publication is being given away to all the media.
Yeah, but who's doing a good job? Are you saying the G20 are loving and helpful?
No. What I'm saying is that the job that they're doing in promoting this is excellent from that viewpoint.
Oh, so there's a lot of public relations going on. So they're spreading a lot of cash around to the slaves.
You talk about a selling job. They are doing an excellent selling job. And I think Kurt Lewin would find this a marvelous group exercise in group management and group control and group things.
And so that's why they don't allow any protest or anybody, because it can only be the message of our loving bankers.
Yes. They are so well organized here, the police and so forth, and the promoters of this particular summit. They have all kinds of.
And so
of
this summit is our God. I mean, a big budget as the entire city for a year on 3 days, $1.2 billion. I've read in the news that Canadians aren't too happy about this.
No, they're not. And they're protesting. Cindy Sheehan's down at Queen's Park tomorrow leading a big march. After that, SOARS, the Southern Ontario Anarchist Resistance They swear that they're going to tear that fence down, but I think that would be a heck of a task to accomplish.
Well, you can you better believe that their foundation and federal officers, as they've been caught before, and those police officers, everybody needs to videotape them and follow them after they leave. They are federal stinkers.
Yes, and that what you had on your site today about that secret law, that is true, and they did publish it earlier, but after they actually enacted it.
That's in the Ottawa Citizen. I mean, it's in the news. The police admit it. George, I'll have to get you to pop back in with a quick report along with Charlie Veach coming up Sunday in the last hour. We'll be live 4 to 6 p.m. Sunday. Your station doesn't pick it up. Hey, why not? 4 to 6 p.m. Central. Infowars.com is the website. This broadcast will retransmit and restream at Infowars.com over the weekend. We had Jesse Ventura with an exclusive interview with Homeland Security, basically harassing him. That's coming up in the rebroadcast. Infowars.com. Great job, crew. We will continue to fight tyranny.